give you an update on the television side, and we want to get your feeling on this thing. We'll talk about it a bit tomorrow, should Terry Schiavo have that feeding tube reinstated, okay? You have been listening to The Radio Factor on Westwood One.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon, mostly sunny, 78 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by KFC. Under proposed legislation, possession of red and blue police lights and impersonating an officer would become a felony. One of this bill's ardent supporters is Governor Bill Owens.
You'll go to jail for 15 months. You'll get to see some real police officers using some real police lights as they haul you to jail.
The legislation's co-sponsor, State Representative Bob McCluskey of Fort Collins, says he expects bipartisan support to fuel swift passage of this bill. This is in reaction to the murder of Lacey Miller, a college student in Fort Collins. She pulled over when she saw flashing red and blue lights in her rearview mirror. The man in that vehicle was impersonating an officer and later confessed to murdering Miller. Her mother, Wendy Cohen, told reporters she likes this bill but would like to see it pass nationally. Rebecca Amaya, the woman from Lamar, who was accused of first-degree murder in the drowning deaths of her two young children, was in court yesterday. Police say the woman told them a spider walked over her hand, and she took that as a sign to, quote, set her children free. She reportedly also said that she held both her five-month-old son and four-year-old daughter under the water in the bathtub until they stopped breathing. She then apparently tried to commit suicide by slashing her wrists with a kitchen knife. She'll be back in court on November 12th. Kobe Bryant will be back in court in Colorado on November 10th. Yesterday, as expected, Eagle County Judge Frederick Gannett says that enough evidence has been presented by the prosecution in Bryant's preliminary hearing to bind the case over to trial in district court. Eagle County District Attorney Mark Hurlburt says he's pleased with the judge's decision. A district judge will now take over the case. On November 10th, Bryant will face another hearing in which he's expected to enter a guilty plea, and a trial date will most likely be set. There was damaging testimony today in the Capitol murder trial of alleged D.C. area sniper John Allen Muhammad. Kathy Culpepper was in the Virginia Beach courtroom.
A Prince William County crime scene investigator testified that he found fingerprints matching Muhammad and his alleged accomplice, Lee Boy Malvo, on a map. The map was found in an area near where Dean Myers was shot to death last October. Charles Coleman, an ATF fingerprint expert, says his research also showed that Muhammad and Malvo's prints were on that map. An assistant medical examiner testified that Myers died from a single gunshot wound to the head and that the bullet came from a high-velocity gun. Just such a weapon was found in the vehicle that Muhammad and Malvo were arrested in. Kathy Culpepper, Virginia Beach.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld continues to step around questions about a Pentagon general who publicly called the global war on terrorism a Christian battle against Satan. Those comments caused a firestorm of controversy, especially in the Muslim world. Rumsfeld told a Pentagon news briefing that he has not seen what Lieutenant General William Boykin actually said. Rumsfeld said Boykin has requested a military inspector general review the comments and issue a report to the Pentagon brass. Lawmakers are demanding answers about how a college student allegedly got box cutters onto two commercial airliners. They also want to know why the alleged perpetrator wasn't caught sooner, since he had been emailing authorities about airline security problems. Massachusetts Democratic Congressman Ed Markey says the government should have been able to connect the dots more quickly.
The one hope that we had after 9/11 was that in the future, if there were warning signals, that the dots would be connected.
20-year-old Nathaniel Heatwall has been charged with taking a dangerous weapon on board an aircraft. Charges were brought in a federal court in Baltimore yesterday. The email tracking and subsequent charges followed the discovery of some box cutters, bleach, and other prohibited items on two Southwest Airlines planes last week. Box cutters were used by the hijackers who carried out the 9/11 terrorist attacks in the U.S. More than two dozen soldiers whose units are serving in Iraq are missing from their posts, having failed to return from 2 weeks of leave. The Washington Washington Post reports that the Pentagon has not officially declared the 28 soldiers AWOL, but one official says it's definitely a concern. Army Colonel Paris Mack adds that a few stragglers had been anticipated and that the vast majority of the 1,300 troops did make their flights back to Iraq. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche welcome the Boston Bruins tonight at the Pepsi Center. The Avs go into tonight's game at 2-2 this season. Denver Nuggets are 4-2 in the preseason after last night's 101-95 overtime win over the Portland Trail Blazers. Nuggets will be in Houston for another preseason outing tomorrow night. And the World Series continues tonight in Miami. The New York Yankees and Florida Marlins are tied at one game each in the best-of-seven series. Right now at KFC, get three delicious crispy strips, mashed potatoes with gravy and a biscuit for just $2.99. That's right, three crispy strips, a side and a biscuit, just $2.99 now at KFC. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Trying to deal with your many different insurance needs is like trying to navigate through an insurance jungle. There's auto and home insurance, plus health and life insurance. After trying to contact all these different insurance carriers, you feel like a caged animal. Well, now you can escape that jungle maze online. NQS will come to your rescue with the most competitive insurance quotes from some of the nation's leading insurance companies. This free service is yours in minutes online at NQS.com. Using their Colorado and nationwide resources, NQS.com will get your free quotes pronto. Just fill out a short, easy information form and that's it. Soon you'll have your free quotes from companies that'll compete with each other for your insurance business. You'll save time, trouble, and money. NQS. It's nice, quick, and simple. Log on now to NQS.com and get out of the insurance jungle. NQS.com, helping millions of folks since 1989.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by your Greater Denver Area Toyota dealers. Just a quiet drive in Denver, not an accident to be found. We do have some construction, though, on northbound Spear between 8th and 10th. Watch for that. Westbound I-70 right at West Colfax, continuing construction there. And you'll see a little bit of cone zone set up at 26th. And Zunai. Toyota owners win a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. No purchase required. Buy an oil and filter change, battery and brake inspection, plus tire rotation for $35.95 through $10.31. See participating dealers for details. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Near record highs today and again Wednesday and possibly on Thursday. We've got some sunshine this afternoon, a high of 82. Mostly clear tonight, down to 48, and then all the way up to 84 on Wednesday under a mostly sunny sky. That is 20 degrees above average. For Thursday, we'll find partly cloudy skies and a high of 83. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 79 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
The Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And later in the broadcast, we're going to be joined live in studio by singer Judy Collins. She has a brand new book out called Sanity and Grace, A Journey of Suicide, Survival, and Strength. And you can meet her tonight at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30, but in order to get in, because they're expecting quite a crowd, you're going to have to arrive at 6:30. No later than 6:30, they start giving away the tickets, one ticket per person at that time. Tomorrow, we'll be joined by Clinton biographer David Marinus. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the Washington Post. He has a new book out called They Marched Into Sunlight, War and Peace, Vietnam and America, October 1967. Thursday, the renowned choreographer Twyla Tharp. What a name, joins us. She used to be an item with Bill Graham. Who's Bill Graham? Well, if you lived in the Bay Area, Bill Graham was a big rock promoter, the Fillmore Auditorium, the Rolling Stones. He was even in the movie Bugsy, and she and he were an item for a while. Anyway, she has a new book out called The Creative Habit. Learn it and use it for life, and God knows we need that. Next week, Annie Garrels from NPR. She was caught on assignment in Iraq as the war was underway. She almost didn't make it back, but she did. Has written a book called Naked in Baghdad. She reports for NPR. And Nigel Hamilton, The latest in a list of Clinton biographers, Bill Clinton, An American Journey. He's English. He has written a biography also of JFK that I thought was fascinating. This new book, a lot of people are mad at him for. I want to talk to him and find out exactly why. That's coming up next week. So what I want to tell you, this is the shorthand way of telling you that on Enid Live, we're trying to bring you the best guests around. We try to bring you the best thinkers and the best writers and the people who have the best ideas and the most interesting ideas and the most provocative ideas, but people in general who are quality and who are worth our time. Otherwise, it's not, you can always make more time, more money, but you can never make more time. So that's the point of it here. And if you have suggestions for guests you'd like to see or hear on the program, I'm open to them. You can always email me, Enid@knrcradio.com, and we have a fabulous website, www.knrcradio.com. If you're working in an office and you can't listen to me on the radio as you used to be able to do on your way home or on your way in, depending on what your hours are, you can listen at work. You can listen on the net. There's a listen function, and there's also a free call me function. So no matter where you are, it's a free phone call if you want to weigh in on whatever we're talking about. And there's a lot to be talking about. First of all, let me just begin with, I looked at the papers this morning. Now this, you're going to have to help me out with this one. I'm looking at the front page photo of the Rocky Mountain News and the front page photo of the Denver Post. I'm looking at both of them. I'm looking at the photo credit, and there are different photographers. The photographer credited on the Post story is Glenn Martin, and the photographer credited on the Rocky picture is George, I don't know if I'm going to say his name correctly, Kochaniak Jr., maybe kind of close. Those who know him will know that I probably mangled his last name. The photo is absolutely identical, except for the cropping. The cropping is different. In other words, the way they clipped it around, cropped it around the edges, the Rocky has a fabulous eye for photography, and they cropped it very close, and you see the mother who's charged in her children's death. Her name is Rebecca Amaya. She's charged in her children's death. But the photo in the Denver Post is they're showing more of the mother, and they're showing more of the guard next to her. But it is not possible, is it, for two, even if, because they're going to be standing, if two guys are standing next to each other and they click at the same moment, they're going to be at slightly different angles. And something will have changed. Somebody will have blinked an eye in the person that they're taking the picture of. You see the matron with the hand on the mother as she's being led off in cuffs, and her fingers might have changed position slightly, or she might have squeezed. There would have been subtle differences. I don't see any difference at all. It looks to me like exactly the same photo, except it's been cropped. Differently in the Rocky, but you could tell me I'm wrong about that. I just think it's odd, that's all. I don't see how that could have happened, but that's the kind of imagination I have. This is what I'm looking at, and the Kobe case, as I predicted yesterday and as everybody else in the universe predicted, so it wasn't just me, he is going to stand trial. He was ordered yesterday to stand trial on the charge that he raped a 19-year-old front desk employee at the resort at Cordillera. The judge said that he must view the evidence in the light most favorable to the prosecution, which is the standard in Colorado for preliminary hearing, so as a result, Brian has to stand trial. Blood on the alleged victim's underwear and Brian's T-shirt can be interpreted as evidence of a rape in which, quote, submission and force were used, the judge said. The judge, however, noted in an unusual 9-page ruling that the evidence could be interpreted more than one way, the same argument the basketball star's attorneys made during the preliminary hearing. At the L.A. Lakers El Segundo, California practice facility, Bryant was asked before the ruling how much anxiety he was feeling. Basketball, zero anxiety. Other stuff, a little anxiety, he said. I've pretty much done all I can. Now I'll let God carry me the rest of the way. I feel comfortable with that. Well, here's what I want to ask you. He's going to stand trial. And in a time when we have a lot of wives, Maria Shriver, Hillary Clinton, to name two wives, Dennis Kozlowski, who headed up Tyco, his wife is standing by him. You have a lot of women standing by their men, but nowhere in the picture do we see Mrs. Kobe. except for that initial press conference, we don't see her at all. She's not with him when he comes to court in Colorado. We don't see her in the picture. Now, I'm assuming there's a deliberate strategy in place, or else she just doesn't want to go because she looks too bored and she's mad. And he's going to have to buy her another $4 or $6 or $8 million ring to make it better, to make that little ouchie go away. Would it be better if she showed up with him in court, with Covey in court, is my question. 303-382-1150. Would it be better if Mrs. Covey wandered in and was a palpable presence, like, I support my husband, we're holding hands, he's really a good man, this has all been blown out of proportion. What do you think about that? It certainly worked for Arnold Schwarzenegger. If Maria Shriver had not supported Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think it would have hampered his ability to win the election in California. And certainly, when we were considering whether or not to vote for Bill Clinton the first time, and there was that famous 60-minute interview where Jennifer Flowers, her allegations had surfaced just before the interview, and Hillary and Bill and 60 Minutes, Steve Croft, I think, was the interviewer. And Hillary made it very clear that they have had issues in their marriage, and it's okay. If it's okay with her, it's going to be okay with the rest of us. So in other words, we got the definite message from Hillary that the marriage hadn't been exactly perfect, but it was going to be all right with her. So if it was fine with her and they were working things out and they'd come to an accommodation, then guess what? It's fine with the rest of us, with the voters as well. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. So the wifely art of standing by. Here you have Dennis Kozlowski in court with his wife every day, and he was one of these Enron kinds of executives that was accused of defrauding his company and everybody else. And she's right in there. She's adjusting his tie. He gave her a several million dollar birthday party and so on. And we have Bill and Hillary Clinton. And we have just the most recent example, Maria Shriver standing by her man. But nowhere in the picture do we see Mrs. Covey, Vanessa. Is it because she looks bored and mad? Is it because the strategy is such that it looks like she would do him more harm than good? Is it that she can't contain her anger? I mean, what would the strategy possibly be that would keep her away, unless she just can't do it or she won't do it? What about bringing her in and she, you know, she holds hands and she looks like, you know, or maybe she couldn't stand the idea of the evidence that they were going to present. But I just point that out as a possibility. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. She's not standing by her man. And when it comes to men and women, we have Governor Owens. He's in the national spotlight because a columnist, George Will, who I can't stand to read, he's such a propaganda machine. I really don't like reading George Will. I don't think he gets anything right, and he's so damn sanctimonious. It's hard to take him very seriously. But he is focusing national attention on Governor Owens, saying that Governor Owens is possibly a candidate for higher office, that Governor Owens could be in the spotlight to be considered presidential material. Let me ask you this question. Is he presidential material if he's still separated from his wife? Now, apparently, when George Will was writing about the possibility of Owens being considered presidential caliber, he did originally include comments about Owens' marital problems, but his editors and he together decided that Owens' marital problems, his separation, his, quote, trial separation, were not germane. Do you agree with that? I think they're germane. I think if somebody's separated and you're considering them for higher office, I think it's part of the story. I don't see how it's not germane. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. How is Owens, and by the way, we haven't heard anything more about their trial separation. Are they getting back together again? What's the progress? Do we hold the cheatingometer over his head, Mr. Family, Governor Family Values, and ask him point blank, has he ever cheated on his wife? Or ask her, has she cheated on him? But he's the one who's been running on a platform of family values. I'm thinking it had to be really bad for them to have finally, for it to blow up, because it blows up a lot of his political prospects. Well, maybe he doesn't want to have more political prospects. or maybe the door will close because of his marital situation, or if any allegations should emerge from his marital situation, or if any girlfriends should crawl out of the woodwork, Ray, his marital situation. I don't know. But I do think it's germane, and I think it should have been included in the George Will reporting. 303-382-1150. So here's what I'm asking you. First of all, I'm asking you, should Mrs. Kobe appear with Kobe at some of these hearings, or is it that she can't contain her anger, or would she send the wrong message, or if she could come and swallow it, swallow whatever her feelings are, suck it up, in other words, would that help Kobe, or is it irrelevant at this point? Maybe not relevant at this point. Maybe she'll come with him at the trial. Is that what they're saving her for? 303-382-1150. In the matter of Governor Owens, is his marital situation germane to any higher political aspirations he might have? George Will thought not and didn't include it in the story he did. I think it's very relevant. 303-382-1150. And did anybody go last night to the protest, the Paul Childs thing? I really think there has to be. I'm hoping that there's a federal investigation here. I would like for the mayor to have said more than he said. I know he's walking a fine line, but still in all, I think more needs to be done. And I think that the police chief, Jerry Whitman, has to come out, and he needs to say, look, we're going to be doing things differently as a result of what has gone on here with the Paul Childs shooting, that same police officer, not only Paul Childs, but another black teenager, a year and a half before that. And the night before the Paul Childs shooting, he makes threats to his mother-in-law, where she has to call the police to report her son-in-law, it's a former mother-in-law. I mean, and to take this guy off the street and to give him a desk job at a police officer's salary, I don't think works either. Maybe he's cleared of a criminal charge here, but to give him some kind of a desk job, I mean, yes, he's got to get off the street. He can't be on that beat again. His effectiveness is way over, I think. There are always going to be lingering questions about this person. But to give him a desk job when a clerk could probably do the same thing at a fraction of the salary? No, I don't think that's a really good solution. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Some people prefer the right wing. Some prefer the left wing. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Ever go to the gym and feel like you're competing in a beauty pageant?
Like, oh my God, that outfit is so last year.
Or that you've landed on Planet Meathead, where the necks you see are thicker than your thighs?
Come on, we only have 3,000 more presses to go.
Tired of hearing the grunting just before the weights crash to the floor? Then come to where fitness isn't a competition or a measure of how thick your neck is. Dumbbells Fitness prides itself in attending to the details of a workout and takes care in creating a fun and relaxed atmosphere that makes even the gym phobic feel comfortable. Dumbbells Fitness is the vegetarian of all gyms. They keep their meat in the freezer. Dumbbells Fitness is located on the second floor at the Tabor Center at 17th and Larimer in downtown Denver. Call now, 303-592-7700. That's 303-592-7700. Or log on to dumbbellsfitness.com. Visit us at Dumbbells for your authentic workout.
Hi, I'm Ina Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Bet Your Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Colorado Symphony Orchestra presents violin superstar Midori, performing Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto and more. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 24th, 25th, and 26th.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
Let's play a game. Tonight, as you lie in bed listening to KNRCRadio.com, which streams our station 24 hours a day to homes worldwide, lay in the middle of the bed. Doesn't that feel good?
you can stretch your arms and legs in all directions and achieve perfect balance. Now you've got both sides of talk radio coming at you through your ears and both sides of the bed holding you in exquisite limbo. Welcome to our world. Hear both sides talk on KNRCRadio.com.
Hi, this is Greg Dobb. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
1224 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock later in the broadcast. Singer Judy Collins will be joining us live in the studio. She has written a book called Sanity and Grace, A Journey of Suicide, Survival, and Strength. And I'm looking forward to meeting her. I've always liked her work a lot. And you can meet her tonight, too, at Chattered Cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30. You're going to have to get there at about 6:30 in order to get a ticket, because I think there's going to be quite a line. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about whether Governor Owens' marital separation should be included in a long piece about how George Will thinks he is a presidential contender material. How come they didn't include that? I think it's relevant. What about Kobe Bryant? And Mrs. Kobe, he's going to have to stand trial. Would she have helped him, or would it have made no difference at all for her to have joined him in his court appearances, these last several appearances? Is she standing by her man? Are they going to be able to get her to do it? Is she having personal problems with it? How come she hasn't been in the picture? When the woman stands by her man, it seems that the rest of us do as well. So we're talking about that. Also, if you were at the Paul Childs demonstration last night, that police officer, even if he's taken off the beat, even if he's given a desk job could be done by a clerk, probably at a fraction of what he's being paid. I think there has to be some other investigation. I know there's an internal investigation pending, but I think maybe a federal investigation. Guys like this shouldn't be on the force, and somebody's got a record like this guy shouldn't be doing what he's been doing. And I think a lot of questions, and maybe the criminal standard wasn't high enough to charge him criminally, but I would like to see statements from the Denver Police Department telling us that they're going to be doing business differently, that they're going to be instituting training for police officers that would begin to address the situations like we are seeing, one after another after another. There have been about three of them in the last couple of months. There was one on Saturday night where the family says the guy wasn't wielding an axe, and the police say he was. And then there was one with a woman who had bipolar disease, not on her meds, and she had the candlestick, so the cop shot her dead. And there's always a racial element here. You're not seeing kids in Cherry Creek who are picking up candlesticks, white kids from good families or affluent families. They're not getting shot dead. A cop would deal with it differently. So their race is the elephant in the room here. And nobody is discussing that. So, and then you've got Paul Childs. So there's three incidents right there, and there have been others. And the same cop a year and a half or so before. Again, he shoots dead a teenager, a black teenager, who in that case was deaf, may not have heard or understood what the officer was telling him to do. And the night before, the officer is making threats to his former mother-in-law, such an extent that she calls the police department to report her former son-in-law. And then it's only a few seconds between the cop gets there and the time he shoots the kid dead. It's like he could have retreated. There could have been other options. It was like, hey, screw this. Get out of my life. Goodbye to you. That's what it sounds like. Maybe that wasn't what it was. But just a layman here. I'm just a layman, and I'm fairly new to Denver, but I've never seen six squads or so, just tons of squads converge on small busts. I have never seen that. I see a ton of, I saw a little, I don't know, some little thing go down here in Lodo, and there were a ton of squad car cruisers. And I have ridden with the Denver Police Department, wonderful guys, busting the hookers and the Johns on East Colfax. A pathetic crew, both the Johns and the hookers. And again, a phalanx of undercover, unmarked cars descend when the bust is made. I mean, these people that are being busted are the most pathetic of the pathetic. You don't need, a half a dozen unmarked cars converging. It's not necessary, I don't think. I'm not a cop. I'm a layperson, but it doesn't seem like it's that much of a risk. 303-382-1150. So are we talking about a department that's a little bit nervous or more anxious than other departments I've noticed? I don't know. So are they so anxious that they pull the trigger first and they ask the questions second? Don't know. We're told by people who are informed on this subject that the National Enquirer is going to have a third shoe to drop on the Rush Limbaugh matter. And I just, one of you sent me this from the Pittsburgh Independent Media Center. Yesterday, one of you called in to say that on Lewis and Florwax, they have a Hollywood reporter that comes on the show. And the Hollywood reporter has talked about the allegation that somebody has come forward who knew Rush Limbaugh and knew him in college and said that he was gay. Well, I have more information. Somebody sent me the story, and this is from the Pittsburgh Independent Media Center. So let me just share it with you. A St. Louis man claims that Rush Limbaugh and he had an affair. He's a 46-year-old music store owner from St. Louis area. His name is Elliot Sanders. He claimed that while a college student at Southeast Missouri University in 1971, that he had an affair with Rush Limbaugh. He said the affair went on for about 3 months. The 46-year-old music store owner is claiming that he had the affair with Rush. It went on for about 3 months. He stated that he met Rush in a class he was taking, but it was only after meeting Rush's sister, who at that time was openly gay, that he found out Rush himself was gay. Rush was a charming man privately, said Elliot Sanders. And he said, I didn't know he was gay until his sister came along and we hit it off, and she seemed shocked that I didn't know that Rush was gay as well. Sanders said privately, Limbaugh is very sensitive and a caring man, but that he was furiously angry at a top radio station he worked for while still in high school that would not offer him a full-time job. He was furious about that, said Sanders, and he often told me that he was going to really show them. Sanders says that Rush's politics at the time were somewhat middle of the road. Rush said that he thought most people were incredibly gullible, and he felt that the key to radio programming was to reach that crowd and that it would be easy. He thought he could get anyone to believe anything he said, and the more outrageous, the more they would believe it. When asked when he thought Limbaugh went straight, Elliot Sanders replied, what are you talking about? He's been married four times now. Has he been married four times or only three? I don't remember. But anyway, this guy claiming that he was married four times. Do people really not get why he doesn't stay married? I guarantee none of these marriages were consummated, says his former lover, Elliot Sanders. Consumme. Oh, my God. Sanders would not divulge any further details. But when asked if he feared retaliation from Limbaugh, he stated, no, Rush wouldn't do that. I think he's really a sweetie at heart. But some of the people who listen to him, most of them are psychotic. I don't think people realize he's just pandering to them for ratings. But he said, I wouldn't want to be there. Well, let me ask you something. Pandering for ratings. You know, we see a lot of preachers who preach one thing and who do a whole other story. I'm thinking about guys like Jimmy Swaggart who preach hellfire, brimstone. I can't remember the phrase, but anyway, he's preaching about sinning big time, and then he's caught in a motel with a hooker. So these guys see that the road to instant riches is to give people what they want to hear. There was a famous preacher in Detroit. He says, throw your money in the air. What goes up is the Lord's, he says, and what comes down is mine. So I wonder if that isn't the mentality that Rush Limbaugh has been foisting on his audience for a long time. And how do you feel, those of you who have been his loyal ditto heads, how do you feel about him being exposed if all this is true? 303-382-1150. Steve, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
I think you should tie this into the pills, Enid. I mean, that's why he's taking the pills, because he's secretly gay, and he is so emotionally troubled by it, that's why he's taking the pills.
Ooh, that's a good one. Do you really believe that, Steve?
What?
Do you really believe it? It's a good theory. I'll tell you what is true. What is true is that this alleged former lover of his, this guy, has it right. Rush Limbaugh in private is a very different person than the tsunami of bombasticism that you're seeing on the air, or that you're listening to on the air.
Like I've told you before, you know, what it comes down to is that, you know, if you really believe that 20 million listeners a week are stupid and, you know, they, whatever Rush says, they listen
He gave them what they wanted to hear.
Okay.
And they made him rich in the process. And whether it happened to be true or not was mostly beside the point.
But see, the problem with that analogy is, or that theory is, that if it was that simple, then you guys would have somebody with 20 million listeners a week as well. But you don't. Because people in this country are not that gullible. They're not that stupid. They think every single person that I know that listens to Rush.
Everybody, but your theory is not holding up, Steve, because there are a lot of Rush wannabes who parrot what he says, who believe or pretend to believe, even if they don't really believe, and try to put out exactly what... Oh, I think he's gone. Try to put out exactly what he's doing, and if only saying that were the key to success. It's more than that. I mean, Rush did have a way to tap into people and connect with people, and he told them what they wanted to hear, and they loved him. They fell in love. You can't just fall in love with everybody who tells you the same thing. There's a magical, unquantifiable chemistry. There's slow dancing. There's mystery. There's something, and you can't describe it. You can't quantify it. Why people fall in love with one person or host or another. 303-382-1150. Joe in Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, you were talking about Owens and the divorce. By the time he runs for president, that won't be an issue anymore.
Why?
Well, because time, you know, heals a lot of things.
Will they get a divorce, are you predicting, or will they have worked it out and so that they're back and back on track with each other?
Well, I would say the odds are that they will not work it out, but then, you know, they may be the small percentage that does. But, you know, it never affected Clinton. Clinton got by pretty darn well with his escapades.
Yeah, but that's because it was okay with Hillary.
Yeah.
When you stand by your man and you say to the world, look, this is our private thing. I know what's going on. I've made peace with it.
Have you heard any comments from Mrs. Owens?
No, I haven't. She hasn't said anything.
It's okay with her.
I don't think...
Maybe she's the one that told him to leave. I don't know.
I'm assuming she did. I'm assuming she's the one who pulled the plug on it.
I would venture to say probably so. But, you know, you're talking about Rush Limbaugh, and I don't know what kind of a person he is. I've listened to him years ago, but, you know, it's like most talk show hosts. When you listen to him for a while, you know when the question comes in, you know what the answer's going to be. Same way with Dr. Laura. I listened to her for a while, and then when the questions came in, you know what the answer was going to be. So you move on. You don't get wrapped up.
Well, you're one of the few who does, but this is how the Holiday Inn made a fortune. Because people like the predictability. They like going to some exotic place and checking into a hotel that was exactly like the one in their city or the one that they stayed at in Chicago or Newark or Los Angeles or wherever.
Yeah. Well, statistics, you know, we kind of know statistics, what the divorce rate is. So you would kind of look at the elected officials and what is the rate. The percentage, you know, would have to be pretty much the same of divorced people that are running our country. So I think divorce is one of the most devastating things, deteriorating factors in our society.
All right, Joe, we're going to have to...
More than drugs and that kind of stuff.
We could. That's fodder for a conversation. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday, Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live right here on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. It's partly cloudy and 79 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the 17 John Elway AutoNation showrooms. Governor Bill Owens and State Representative Bob McCluskey announced a proposed bill to make possession of red and blue police lights and impersonating a police officer a felony. The proposed legislation is in response to the murder of Lacey Miller, a student in Fort Collins. A man driving a car with police lights who was impersonating a police officer confessed to murdering Miller. Denver Parking Meter Task Force met yesterday to come up with a list of recommendations to make downtown parking more affordable. Among the suggestions is lowering the cost to $1 per hour and cutting enforcement by 2 hours to 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Office has released a videotape which shows Columbine killers Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold at a shooting practice about a month before the massacre in April of 1999. The video is part of a larger release of documents related to the investigation of the tragedy at the high school. The alleged mastermind behind the September 11th attacks is now believed to have personally slit the throat of Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl. A U.S. official speaking on condition of anonymity said Washington
Republican had come to that belief over a period of time. Final debate is underway in the Senate on legislation banning so-called partial birth abortions. President Bush is anxious to sign it into law, but California Democrat Barbara Boxer says the measure makes no exceptions for a woman's health. D.C. area sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad is in a Virginia Beach courtroom for the second day of testimony in his capital murder trial. Muhammad is representing himself. He spent the morning questioning police officers as well as one alleged witness. In sports, the Boston Bruins come to town tonight to play the Colorado Avalanche. The Avs are 2-2 this season. Another preseason win for the Denver Nuggets last night as they beat the Portland Trail Blazers in overtime, 101-95. The Nuggets are 4-2 during the preseason. And the New York Yankees and Florida Marlins continue the World Series tonight in Miami. The best-of-seven series is tied at one game each. Why buy a 2003 when you can get a new 2004 for the same price at John Elway? John Elway has 04s for the price of 03s. There are over 7,000 new cars, so hurry to John Elway today. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:39.
KBDI Channel 12 provides more locally produced public affairs programming than any other television broadcaster in Colorado. Join us every Wednesday and Friday for programs that tackle the local issues seriously. KBDI Channel 12, your worldview and community voice.
Did you know Maxwell House Original tastes fresher than the other leading coffee? That's right. Maxwell House tastes fresher. And only Maxwell House coffee comes with the exclusive fresh seal that locks in flavor and aroma. There's even an easy open top. No can opener needed. For freshness you can taste, choose Maxwell House. It's our freshest coffee ever and a great way to make every day good to the last drop. Results against Folgers Classic Roast among those with a preference.
KNRC News Time is 12:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of KeyBank, and we do got a bit of a problem on 6th Avenue. We got a stall eastbound 6 at Havana. That's going to be out in the Aurora area. Also, westbound 6th Avenue at Sheridan. Watch for an accident up west. The time is money. If your checking account isn't earning interest, you're wasting time. Stop by any KeyBank today for their free checking account with interest. Account early closure fee applies. The solution is Key. Member FDIC. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Near record high temperatures this afternoon, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Mostly clear tonight, a low down to 48. We should break the record on Wednesday again with sunshine, a high of 84, the record being 81 set back in 1975. Again, a hot day Thursday, partly cloudy, 83. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 79 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
You can lose all the weight you want with the right weight loss plan. And now the plan is available to you without a prescription. Introducing all-natural UltraCarb, the only total weight loss system guaranteed to melt away the pounds by using your body's natural carb-blocking, fat-burning mechanism. UltraCarb is a two-step system that starts by blocking the carbs in many of the foods you love, like pasta, pizza, and bread. Next, UltraCarb goes to work burning fats contained in everyday foods, like cheeses and the oils contained in just about everything. Your body can then go to work on the fat it's been storing, allowing you to lose 2 to 3 dress or pant sizes in a month. You can lose up to 20 pounds in 4 weeks. Best of all, UltraCarb is guaranteed to work or your money back. Call right now and get a free month of UltraCarb with your order.
Call now for your 60-day risk-free trial of UltraCarb. 1-800-451-6432. Lose up to 3 pant sizes in the next month. 1-800-451-6432. It's guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC Market Watch.
The blue chip index is in the red. The rest of the markets are a touch positive. The Dow is down 13 points. S&P 500 up 2. The NASDAQ is gaining 15. Craig Callahan, Chief Investment Officer at Meridian Investment Management, says despite lackluster trading days of late, there's still plenty of wind in Wall Street sales.
I don't try to guess plateaus or pauses. We still think that the rally that started last March 11th is still intact, and we still see the market as about 15% below fair value.
After the closing bell today, Amazon.com reports quarterly earnings. Traders obviously expecting good things. The stock has risen to a 52-week high today and is right now up 83 cents, or about 1.5%. And tomorrow, the William Wrigley Company will do what it has never done before, host an analyst meeting. The gum company, notorious for being tight-lipped about its operations, is signaling the start of a more open era. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1243 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Judy Collins will be joining us live in studio. She's a wonderful folk singer. And now the author of a new book, Sanity and Grace, The Journey of Suicide, Survival, and Strength. And I think it was her son who committed suicide. So this is, I'm guessing that writing a book about it helped her to deal with that. You can meet her tonight. She'll be at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek at 7:30, but you're going to have to get there at about 6:30 at the very latest in order to get a ticket. And they're only giving one ticket per person to get in there. There's no charge for coming in, but I think there are going to be a lot of people who want to meet her. And her son was 33 years old. Wow. So she'll be with us in a little while. We're talking about a lot of things. First of all, we are talking about Russia's affair, alleged affair. This man has come forward. He was a 46-year-old music store owner from the St. Louis area, and he said he was a student at Southeast Missouri University when he had an affair with Rush Limbaugh. Now, there's a difference in age because Rush is about 53. And this guy is 46, so there's a six-year difference? Would they have been at the university at the same time? Unless Rush was an older student or this guy was precocious? I don't know. But anyway, this is, he's alleging that Rush is really gay. If you are a Rush ditto, if you're a ditto head, come on over here and sample while he's not there, while he's in rehab for the next 1,000 years. Because, see, you know, they've got a lot of people filling in, and they're never going to have anybody as good as he is filling in for him because they never have. They want to preserve the franchise. But if you have been a loyal Rush supporter, the allegation, first of all, to find out that he was a junkie, to find out that he may be gay, I mean, does any of this, to find out that according to his former lover here, or alleged former lover, he doesn't believe half of what he's saying. He was a middle-of-the-road guy, but he realized that he could tap a nerve here, he could get a lot of ratings, he could make a lot of money by saying things that he knew would get him a huge audience. And I think, you know, I sort of think there's a ring of truth about it. The more he steps on the gas and the more he says outrageous things, the more publicity he gets, and he becomes caught in that spiral of being what he is not because it has brought him so much success. I do know for certain that he's a very shy, very different person off the air than he is on the air. So we know that there's a lack of congruence in that respect, but is there a lack of sexual congruence? Is he living a lie in every way? Does he not believe what he's saying? Is he sexually different from what he's trying to portray? I mean, 303-382-1150. And, you know, he was tough on addicts. And here he is, a junkie. Jeff, in Westminster. Oops, I hit the wrong button, I think. Uh-oh, there we go. Jeff, in Westminster. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
You know, I'm not a Rush diddlehead or anything like that, but that guy, the alleged lover's got to be lying. But he'd have been a whole 13 years old in 1971. So that may, I guess that makes Rush a pedophile also, not only homosexual, but a pedophile.
Well, I didn't do the math, but if that is that what it would make him if he's 46
yeah.
now?
13, because in 71 I was 15.
Okay.
And I'm 48, so the guy, you know, it just doesn't add up.
No, and not if he's 46 years old.
Yeah.
And I don't
that's
know
all
how... Okay. All right. That's good, Jeff. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, maybe it's a forgery. Maybe it's a fake. Well, anyway, somebody sent it to me from the Pittsburgh Independent Media Center. And apparently some Hollywood reporter. All right. We'll have to labor it. It may be fake-o-matic here, but if it winds up being true, if all these allegations, I mean, maybe the sexual orientation is the least of it, but the National Enquirer says a third shoe is going to drop in case you're a three-footed being, in case you're a three-footed critter. The third, they've got another part that's going to happen here that they're going to be reporting. And so far, their reporting has been on the money. The first in the series had him popping pills, and he didn't say anything for a whole week. And then the second, now there's a third saying that the housekeeper's attorneys have thanked the National Enquirer for saving Rush's life. 303-321-1150. So if you have been a big supporter, a fan, a follower, a ditto head of Rush's, does any of this leave you dismayed that he's a very different person off the air than on? That the very thing that he castigated, he was the most guilty of. Remember my line? Remember, memorize this line. It's the thief who thinks everybody else is out to steal. So it's the guy who's the addict who puts down all the other addicts or the junkies, who's very tough because it's just a way of projecting it outward. I think that's Psychology 101, 303-382-1150. Robert De Niro has been diagnosed with prostate cancer, but they got it early. It's in the early stages, and the prognosis is very good. And my brother had it three times, and he was fairly young when he got it, and he's okay. So if you catch it early enough, it can be okay, but you got to catch it. And he was under the age where they give you the test. I think they wait till you're, I think in general, the usual MO, doctors wait until you're, I don't know, 50 or something. And he insisted on the test. He was not 50. He was in his 40s. And they didn't want to do it. And then when the numbers came back wrong, they said, oh, no, this must be a mistake. And then they did retest it, and no, it wasn't a mistake. So he's really had his bouts with it, but he's okay now. So if you get it early, so guys, be sure you get tested. And if the doctor says, well, you know, you're not old enough, it's often symptomless. By the time you have symptoms with prostate cancer, it's usually too late. Somebody who worked here, Bruce, I'm going to think right now, he had red hair and he was the program director at KOA, and I can't think of his last name for right now, but it'll come to me. But he did die of prostate cancer. And I worked with him in San Francisco at KGO. And he came back to San Francisco, and he was having these horrible, horrible back pains. And by the time he finally went to a doctor to get checked out, it was too late. It was way too late. So by the time you have the symptoms, it can be too late. So get checked regularly, guys. 303-382-1150. Deborah in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hi. Real quick, first of all, you said it's always the guys that are talking about, they use drugs. Oh, they use drugs. Oh, they're bad. And he was the one using it. So I guess that falls in the same line as the Republican Party always saying, they're lying, they're lying, they're lying. The newspapers and media are all liberal, never mind the fact that they're all owned by big corporations.
Right.
But I was wondering, somebody just handed me down the street a article in The Guardian. Did you discuss that last week at all?
Which one? There's a lot of articles in The Guardian.
About,
are you talking
about Paul Krugman?
The English newspaper, The Guardian?
Yes.
They have written a few things about him, but which one are you referring to?
They wrote Paul Krugman is a mild-mannered university economist. He's also a New York Times columnist, and apparently he's getting a lot of death threats.
Yes, he is. He doesn't open his own mail at the New York Times.
Right, okay.
He's a columnist, and I read his columns frequently on the air here because I think his stuff is really good, and he is a PhD, teaches at Princeton, so
right. And
pretty
well
respected.
Referenced all that. They also did a tie-in to one of Henry Kissinger's books in 1957, and Krugman writes A World Restored, apparently is what Kissinger had written, and he would later discuss how a lot of things that Kissinger was talking about, the rise of fascism in the United States, gave him chills about how close it is to what is going on now.
So is he saying that Kissinger was prescient in writing this book in the late 50s?
No, Kissinger had wrote this at that time, and he was using Napoleon as a case study. And Krugman believes implicitly addressing the rise of fascism in the 1930s describes what happens when a stable political system is confronted with a revolutionary power, a radical group that rejects the legitimacy of the system itself.
Well, what he has long said is that that group in Washington, those neocons running the Defense Department, I don't know if you listened to the show yesterday, Deborah, but it turns out that the State Department did a study that predicted the kind of chaos that we are now up against in Iraq post-war in the occupation situation and what we should be looking for way in advance of us going into Iraq. And because there's this radical ideological political group in charge of the Pentagon, they absolutely dissed that report. They shelved it. It was like a 9/11. It was like all the stuff they got from Hart, Gary Hart, and Warren Redman. They shelved it. They paid no attention to it. And the report now looks eerily prescient because it predicted all of this stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what they went on in here about all the shelving, all this.
Why don't you send it to me? Can you email it?
Fax number.
What is our fax number? 203-296-7030 is our fax number, and put it to Enid. Attention, Enid.
Okay, 296-7320.
7030.
7030.
7030.
7030, that helps.
Okay. Deborah, thanks for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live.
Greg Dobbs, named best radio talk show host by Westword, AM 1150 KNRC.
Oh, Larry, what a wonderful spot for our picnic.
Isn't it? The weather's just right.
Did someone say picnic?
Hey, you're stepping on the goat cheese.
Oops, so sorry, but I heard someone say picnic. And as the anniversary fairy for the Denver Center Theater Company, I must respond to emergency calls for tickets to picnic. So are you going?
Going? We're having the picnic now.
Mmm, yummy sandwiches. But I meant the play picnic.
We're just trying to enjoy.
Oh, wine.
Did you want something?
Yes. I want you to picture a small town in Kansas. A single mom and her two teenage daughters get ready for the big Labor Day picnic, and then a hunky drifter blows into town, and the sexual tension ignites. But if you'd rather just eat goat cheese...
Oh, no, we'll go see picnic.
My work here is done.
Our 25th season is our best yet. Come celebrate at the Denver Center Theater Company with tickets to Picnic, opening October 16th. Call 303-893-4100.
Buying a car can be confusing, so it's important to make smart choices. GMAC and AFSA, the American Financial Services Association, have created Your Pathway to Vehicle Financing, a special program to educate consumers about credit, budgeting, and knowing their options when financing or leasing a vehicle. GMAC wants everyone to feel comfortable with their financial decisions. To learn more, visit yourpathwaytovehiclefinancing.com, created by AFSA Education Foundation with underwriting support from GMAC.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Meet Ichabod Crane and a host of historical characters at the Clear Creek History Park Halloween Harvest Festival, October 24th and 25th from 5 to 9 p.m. Bring the family to stuff a scarecrow for the garden, wander through a blindfold maze, listen to ghost stories around the campfire, and enjoy hot apple cider. The Clear Creek History Park is located in Golden at the corner of 11th and Arapahoe Streets. For more information on the Halloween Harvest Festival, go to clearcreekhistorypark.org. AM 1150 KNRC and Radio Disney present Boobash at Heritage Square on Saturday, October 25th from noon to 3 p.m. Bring out your family in costume to trick or treat throughout the square. This free event includes live entertainment from Radio Disney's Commotion Band and lots of candy prizes and games. You'll have a hauntingly good time at the Boobash at Heritage Square Saturday, October 25th from noon to 3 p.m. For more information, go to knrcradio.com and click on events.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:56 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Judy Collins will join us later in the broadcast. Let's go to the phones. Ben calling from Elgin, Illinois. Hi, Ben.
Hello. Unfortunately, as much as I'd like to believe that story about Rush and the fellow from St. Louis, that story was originally attributed to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and within a few days after that hitting the internet, I think last December, it was disclaimed by them as, you know, they said they never published it, and they demanded it be taken off.
Somebody just called in and did the math that if the guy's 46 and it happened in 71, and I haven't done the math, and the guy had to have been 13 years old, and so Rush, therefore, is a pedophile on top of it.
Yeah, and this kid would have had to be a prodigy to be in the university.
Yeah, how would he? And I said, well, wait a minute. If he's 46 and Rush is 53, either Rush was an old student or this kid was a precocious student. So, you know what? It isn't passing the smell test. So as much as it's sort of fun to speculate about Russia's I'm going to rescind it. I think it doesn't sound like it's right. So you have some proof that it was
Yeah, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch demanded that be taken off several websites.
Ben, are you our Denver Ben caller?
No, this is Ben from Elgin, Illinois.
How are you listening to the show?
On the internet. I'm the fellow who's now archiving your shows at whiterosesociety.org.
You are?
Yes.
What is the White Rose Society?
We are an archive of liberal talk radio shows. We provide a three-week rolling archive of the Mike Malloy Show, the Tom Hartman Show, the Randy Rhoads Show, and your show.
And how do people access this? WhiteRoseSociety.org. Okay.
White Rose Society, all one word.
Well, I didn't realize this. Do you know that you can call us for nothing? You should hit the call me function on the so that you it won't cost you any if you want to call us again.
I will.
There won't be any charge for it. You can just hit the call me thing, and I think that brings you right into the studio.
Oh, I'll give that a shot.
Okay. Well, Ben, thank you so much. I'm honored.
Anyway, you're very welcome.
All right. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And so Ben clears up the matter of the Rush Limbaugh sexuality in case people were standing in line with their gaydars, you know, getting a hot reading or not over his head. Well, I guess that was doesn't pass the smell test. So Rush is going to have to stand on his lack of congruence for what he is privately and what he might believe in publicly or how he is publicly. And we all know about performance art. But, you know, you have these preachers who are always ranting about sexual sins, and then those are the ones who are always caught committing some kind of a sexual transgression. It is the Elmer Gantry story. So rent the film if you haven't seen it, or read the book. And I think, who's the author of Elmer Gantry? Is it Sinclair Lewis? Is it Elmer? Who wrote Elmer Gantry? I want to say Sinclair Lewis, but maybe I'm not remembering it correctly. Okay, don't go anywhere. Two more hours of Enid right here on AM 1150 KNRC. As I said, later in the broadcast, Judy Collins will be joining us live. You'll have a chance to talk to her if you wish, or you'll be having a chance to listen to her remarkable story. I'm Enid Goldstein, and this is AM 1150.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 80 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by XL Energy. If Governor Bill Owens and State Representative Bob McCluskey of Fort Collins have their way, it'll be a felony to possess red and blue police lights and impersonate a police officer. Here's what the governor has to say about the proposed bill.
I'm announcing my strong support for legislation that makes it a crime to use or possess emergency red and blue lights that aren't authorized or required by law.
McCluskey says that he expects bipartisan support on the bill. The proposed legislation comes in reaction to the murder of Fort Collins student Lacey Miller, who pulled over when she saw flashing red and blue lights in her rearview mirror. The man in that car was impersonating a police officer and later confessed to Miller's murder. Wendy Cohen, Miller's mother, says she likes the bill but wants to see it pass nationally. Kobe Bryant will be back in a Colorado courtroom on November 10th, now that Judge Frederick Gannett has bound the rape case over for trial in district court. Legal analyst Royal Oaks says the decision by the Eagle County judge to send this case to trial was no surprise.
This decision was not a shock, although the minimal performance by the prosecution and the hard-driving cross-examination by Bryant's lawyers led some people possibly to believe that the charges would be tossed out. In fact, the burden is very low for the DA at this point, and so most everybody expected Bryant would be ordered to stand trial.
Oaks says the trial date could be put off until the end of the upcoming NBA season. If the Lakers go the distance in the playoffs, that could mean the trial might not get underway until next June, when the NBA postseason usually wraps up. On November 10th, Bryan is expected to enter a not guilty plea, and a trial date will be set. The parking meters downtown could get affordable again. The Denver Parking Meter Task Force met yesterday, and they've come up with a list of recommendations. They say the city should lower the cost per hour for the meters to $1 and make the enforcement go from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. That would cut back 2 hours on the enforcement time. Right now, the city gets about $8 million from the meters and tickets for parking violations. Mayor John Hickenlooper says the present parking situation downtown is frustrating people in getting them to shop elsewhere. The alleged mastermind behind the September 11th attacks is now believed to have personally slit the throat of Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl. One U.S. official speaking on condition of anonymity said the government believes Pearl's murderer is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. The official said Washington had come to the belief about Mohammed over a period period of time, but declined to say exactly what information led to that conclusion. Mohammed was captured in Pakistan in March and is being held at an undisclosed location. Pearl disappeared in Karachi, Pakistan early last year while investigating a story on Islamic extremists. A videotape shows him being murdered by a man whose face wasn't shown. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and Joint Chiefs Vice Chairman General Peter Pace answered questions about a Pentagon general who publicly called the global war on terrorism a Christian battle against Satan. Lieutenant General William Boykin has since apologized for the comments he made in a church speech. Joint Chiefs Vice Pace says that he recently spoke with the general.
He does not see this battle as a battle between religions. He sees it as a battle between good and evil. He sees it as the evil being the acts of individuals, not the acts of any kind of any religion or affiliation with religions.
Secretary Rumsfeld told a Pentagon news briefing that he has not seen what Boykin actually said. Rumsfeld said Boykin has requested a military inspector general review his comments and issue a report to the Pentagon brass. Boykin is a deputy undersecretary of defense for intelligence. Sneaking potential weapons on board an airplane just to prove a point is much more serious than shouting bomb in a crowded airport. The Transportation Security Administration's Amy Von Walter says a 20-year-old college student did the absolute wrong thing when he allegedly hid box cutters on two airplanes to reveal security lapses.
In this case, you know, obviously it's, you know, very serious charges, and when you look at the penalty, I would say this student is going to be thinking pretty seriously about what exactly he's done.
Nathaniel Heatwall is free on his own recognizance after being charged with carrying a dangerous weapon on an aircraft yesterday in Baltimore federal court. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche take on the Boston Bruins tonight at the Pepsi Center. The Avs have won two and lost two games this season. The Denver Nuggets continue to win in the preseason, last night beating the Portland Trail Blazers 101-95 in overtime. The Nuggets will be in Houston tomorrow night. Game three of the World Series tonight in Miami with the New York Yankees and Florida Marlins tied at one game each in the best of seven series. Using a programmable thermostat can save you up to $75 a year. Visit the Home Energy Analyzer tool at xlenergy.com for more energy-saving tips. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Are you tired of the weight loss battle? Do you find yourself feeling desperate to lose weight and keep it off? Listen to what UltraCarb users are saying about their experiences.
I've been on UltraCarb for 2 weeks. I've lost a total of 10 pounds, and I cannot believe it.
In the first 9 days since using UltraCarb, I lost 10 pounds. It's the only thing that's worked for me, and I am so excited to get down to my goal weight. Right now, I'm losing 20 pounds a month, and within 6 weeks, I'll have reached my goal. UltraCarb is amazing, and I would recommend it to anyone who really wants to lose this weight.
Whoever said losing weight has to be difficult has not used UltraCarb. UltraCarb works by blocking carbohydrates, the source of most weight gain. If you want to lose up to 20 pounds and 2 to 3 dress or pant sizes per month, call now. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or receive a full refund. Call now to look and feel better about yourself.
Call 1-800-451-6432 and find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. That's 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Bank One. Pretty quiet drive out there right now. We do have some construction. Westbound I-70 at West Colfax. C-470 between Ken Carroll and Wadsworth. Also on northbound Spear between 8th and 10th. Stop by Bank One to get maximum strength checking. Now maximum strength checking comes with free online bill pay on qualifying accounts. So stop by Bank One today. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Near record highs today and again Wednesday and possibly on Thursday. We've got some sunshine this afternoon, a high of 82. Mostly clear tonight down to 48 and then all the way to 84 on Wednesday under a mostly sunny sky. That is 20 degrees above average. For Thursday, we'll find partly cloudy skies and a high of 83. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 80 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And later in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by Judy Collins, who will be with me in the studio. She has a new book out called Sanity and Grace, A Journey of Suicide, Survival, and Strength. And I'm interested to hear what that story is. You can meet her tonight at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30, but you've got to get there at least no later than 6:30 in order to, they'll be passing out tickets at that time. And I imagine when they do that, that means they're expecting a crowd. We've been talking about a lot of things. We've been talking about Rush. If you have been a listener to Rush, come over here and sample us for a while. If you feel like you want to defend him, be my guest. I think he's in a lot of trouble, and what we're hearing is that the National Enquirer is saying that there's going to be yet another shoe to drop in this case. So as we get information, we'll pass it along to you. I can't imagine that he's having an easy time of it. I think any time you're going through rehab, it's got to be horrible. But I wonder if his followers feel deceived. 303-382-1150. You know, do you feel deceived is the question. We're also talking about, you know, another guy who was Mr. Family Values, and that's Governor Owens, and there's a separation, a trial separation that's occurring. And George Will, a national columnist, has written about Owens as a candidate for higher political office, you know, as a Republican darling, but he neglected to mention the separation. He said that he and his editors didn't think it was germane. I think it's very germane, as a matter of fact. So people who give you, you know, who pretend to be one thing, and then when the veil is parted, they turn out to be something else. And don't get mad at me, but as we watch the beatification of Mother Teresa in progress, at the same time we're watching the sale of Mother Teresa tchotchkes in record numbers. I mean, there's the Mother Teresa lamp, and there's the Mother Teresa statue, and there's the Mother Teresa tea towels, and you name it. Christopher Hitchens, who was never a fan of Mother Teresa, he calls her a fanatic, a fundamentalist, and a fraud. And as evidence of the fraud, he said she would talk about how horrible divorce was, and she was very adamant on that. But when her good friend Princess Diana got divorced, she told the Ladies' Home Journal, well, that she was pleased by the divorce because the marriage had so obviously been an unhappy one. And the woman who said that she was cured by Mother Teresa actually probably never had the thing she said she was cured of. And Christopher Hitchens goes on to say that Mother Teresa, this is such heresy, Mother Teresa was not a friend of the poor, he says, he alleges. She was a friend of poverty. And although she recruited a lot of money for her convent, and she took money from some bad people like the Duvalier family in Haiti, whose rule she praised in return, you know, they are an atrocious, I mean, they were dictators, they were horrible. She took money from Charles Keating of the Lincoln Savings and Loan Scandal. Christopher Hitchens asks, where did all that money and all the other donations go? The primitive hospice in Calcutta was as run down when she died as it had always been. In fact, she preferred California clinics when she got sick herself, and her order always refused to publish any audit whatsoever. But we have her own claim that she opened 500 convents in more than 100 countries, all bearing the name of her own order. Excuse me, Christopher Hitchens asks, but is this modesty and humility? So he thinks she's a big fraud and a fanatic and all of that. The difference between the way people are portrayed or portray themselves publicly and what might be going on behind the scenes. Always keep your eyeballs open to it. And the more people proclaim one thing or another, more likely they're not, you know, the more they're against sin, for example, you can almost bet that somewhere along the line they're doing rather too much of it in their own lives. Well, finally, parking meters. It looks like there's a panel here that's recommending that the meter rates go from $1.50 an hour to $1 an hour in downtown Denver and Lodo. Thank goodness, $1 an hour sounds fair to me. Reducing the meter hours, they're now 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. That sounds fair to me also. So you go out to dinner. Maybe you're going to have dinner at 7 o'clock. You put $1 in the meter, and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to eat, gobble, and go. So you can stay in Lodo for a little while. Maybe you're going to shop some more. Maybe you go to a bar afterward. Maybe you're going to hit the ice cream store. Maybe you're going to poke around some and spend your money. Go listen to music someplace. Go to the Comedy Works. You spend some money in Lodo, which would be very good for the merchants. And the panel is recommending that metered parking be ended on Sundays. Well, in some parts of Lodo it is, and in other parts it is not. So it's confusing. Unless you read the meter, you could get a ticket. And I hope that they don't bring metered parking or those keys or whatever they're going to do to Cherry Creek. I really hope they don't do that. I like Cherry Creek just the way it is. You can park on the street there. You can run in, run out, get there real fast, walk a little bit, find a place to park. I hope they leave that alone. One of the stories that's being heavily reported today, I think we need to weigh in on it. There is a woman who has been... She's a comatose woman. She sustained severe brain damage. She's been on a feeding tube for years. I think she's been in a coma for, 13 years, more than a decade anyway. And her parents don't want to remove the feeding tube, but her husband does. And it has gone to court, and the court said they could remove the feeding tube, and that is what has happened. But meanwhile, the Florida legislature, never apparently missing an opportunity to pat itself on the back and get as many votes as it can, has joined a legal battle. This is a right-to-die case. This is a 39-year-old, as I said, comatose woman. Terry, I don't know how she's pronouncing her last name, Schiavo. The feeding tube has kept her alive for 13 years since a heart attack in 1990. The tube was removed against the wishes of her parents, who have mounted a huge legal and public relations campaign to keep their daughter alive. What would you do in a case like that? Well, I can tell you what I would do, and you might not want to hear it. I think let nature take its course. If my mother, when she died, she was very clear before she died. She wanted no extraordinary means to keep her alive, and she did a living will to that effect. So you know what? It made it really easier for the family, because what would have happened is medically they would have put her on a ventilator, and she couldn't have breathed without the machine. So Terry, this woman in question, probably cannot absorb food on her own. And if they remove the feeding tube, she'll die naturally. And maybe that's the way it should be. I think it's been 13 years. I think maybe that's the way it should be. If you can't do it on your own, then let nature take its course, is what I would say here. And in hospitals, let me just say, they don't talk about it openly that much. But it's a routine thing. When people are terminal, they stop feeding them at a certain point, and they stop hydrating them, too. So no water, no food. And I knew a woman who was actually a friend of the family. She was over 100 years old, and she was great until, the last few months of her life. And at that point, when she was terminal, and again, she was over 100 years old, they removed the feeding tube, and I think they weren't giving her water either. And I think she lasted for about 2 weeks. People are remarkable. But if you cannot do it on your own, and I think 13 years is a good shot, I think they tried everything. I think the parents just don't want to let her go, or they're hoping that by a miracle she'll wake up, but apparently she sustained very severe brain damage. What would you say to do here? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Dan, calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Well, sorry my little rush, homophobia didn't play out for you. I gave that to you yesterday, remember?
Oh, well, I think it's probably, it doesn't sound, the facts don't line up.
I know, but I told you I just heard it on some celebrity guy on
Lewis and Floorworks. All right. Well, we checked it out, but it looks like it's not a story. Thanks though for the heads up. Anything else you?
Fucking Mary Schiavo or whatever her name is. I think it's kind of heavy-handed. The husband trying to make up. Maybe they're dragging it on, but the family. You know what I mean?
So you're in. Wait a minute. You want to keep the feeding tube there?
Well, still, but, the husband's come in and only known her so many years of her life, and her family's had it all. I mean, it's a tough call, but I think he's been
a little
heavy-handed.
I mean, Dan, it's 13 years.
I know, but you know what we're getting into a bigger crisis
there. And who pays? I'm wondering who pays for her to be in a nurse. Well, she's got, I don't know where she is in the nursing home. Where is she for 13 years? And who pays for that? Does the state pay for that? Who pays for it?
Well, but we're still getting into another issue here that the guy that follows you, we talk about, is that liberal courts are trying to make law, and now the legislatures are battling with them as to who's.
Oh, wait a minute. How do you? The court in Florida is a liberal court. I'm doubting that.
Well, maybe a liberal.
It's easy.
Job.
It's easy for you to do a label. Oh, well, that's why the law came down the way it did, or they made that decision. It's a liberal court. But by that same token, then you can say about the Supreme Court, it's largely conservative court, and so then you can diss any of their decisions. Presumably, this court had the facts in front of it. It looked at the case. It looked at case law in Florida, and it made a decision. And politicians here, losing no opportunity to step on the gas and make friends with the electorate, have meddled where I don't think they belong. It's a family decision. It's a medical decision. It should not be a political decision. That's my take on it. 303-382-1150. Paul in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good afternoon, Enid. How are you?
Good.
Well, remind me to get back to the parking meter thing, but while we're talking about it, I think it's Schiavo.
case.
Okay.
We treat our animals better than we treat our humans. You know, when an animal is old and infirm and clearly not curable, we put it to sleep. And we do that out of mercy and care for the animal so it doesn't suffer. But we let our humans linger for 13 years. I'm absolutely in support of the husband. It's a terrible choice. There's no...
Oh, it is a terrible choice, but... You know, I'm going to tell you, everybody who has had to deal with a dying parent or a dying loved one has had to make that choice.
I know.
If they don't have a living will, and I don't know, maybe it varies from state to state. My mother had a living will. She was very clear with her doctors. Mm-hmm. And she wanted no extraordinary means to be kept alive. Mm-hmm. And what happened was I arrived home. The doctors said, I was scheduled to go to a conference in Washington, D.C., and I was then living in San Francisco. And the doctor, she was not feeling well on a Monday. She went with a friend to her doctor's because it was like a 40 miles away. Mm-hmm. And the doctor examined her, and he said, no, you're fine. I'll see you at your regular appointment. So now she leaves. She takes her friends to dinner. She's not feeling so well after dinner. She said, you know, I think we ought to make a trip to the emergency room. Now, my mother has only been in the hospital to have her children. She was, I don't think she had been hospitalized for any other reason. So if she said, let's go to the emergency room, it's got to be serious. And she goes. She, under her own steam, she gets in the car. Her friend drove her over, although she was driving until the very end. They admitted her. I talked to the doctor. The doctor said, we'll have her out in a week. And I thought, okay, let's see what will happen, and I'll have to deal with the aftercare, and maybe I'll come and take care of her and see what the story is.
Mm-hmm.
I decide, instead of going to Washington, D.C., I will fly to Michigan, and I take the red eye, and when I get there an hour too late. She has slipped into a coma an hour before I have arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And they now have her, I think they had her on some kind of a breathing, a ventilator. They had her on something.
Mm-hmm.
And we just left. They had her on something, and we met with the doctors, and they kept it up. And then as the evening progressed, the doctors called us at home. My sister and I, it was about 7 o'clock at night, and they said, get over to the hospital. So we got over, and pretty much the doctor said, we know what she wanted. The nurse there had a lot of experience with this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody saw that she wasn't. The doctor told me, we're going to have her out in a week. That wasn't the case, and the question was, do you unhook the apparatus? And the doctor, the nurse, everybody, and we knew what her wishes were. Her good friend was there, my sister, who was trained as a nurse. I was there. I think I probably would have left it going longer, but they all said no, and that was it. We stayed in the room, and then her breathing ceased. It was probably just a few minutes after she was unhooked, and that's the way they do it.
Mm-hmm. And I really think that without knowing all the facts, just from where I stand, from my viewpoint, that Ms. Schiavo's family is just being selfish.
Well, they don't want to let her go. It's hard to call. You could call them selfish, but they don't want to let her go. They have these probably irrational hopes that a miracle can happen. And you read where people who haven't talked in 20 years wake up and they say, what's for dinner?
Yeah, and the chances against that are definitely, well, that's against it. Now, about the parking meters. The thing with the parking meters, I am in agreeance with that parking should be less expensive at night, but it is way too cheap in the daytime. Parking rates ought to go up and coerce people to quit driving downtown Denver, take public transportation, get on a bike, and get the cars out of the core city.
Yeah, but I don't think that they are. Well, I think some people are, but I think a lot of people, I don't know. I don't
Not
know whether
if
the...
Not driven in downtown Denver.
Okay. All right.
I mean,
well, it's a...
It's just a zoo down there, and it's too cheap to use a car.
Yeah, but they only let you go there for... They only let you park in a meter. You have to leave after your 2 hours, I think.
Yeah.
So unless they catch you, you got to move it along. So I don't know, Paul, but it's a thought. We'll consider it, and I thank
okay.
you for calling. 303-382-1150. John in Conifer. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, Enid. This is John. I love your show, and I've called in before, but I think you're really needing to do more homework on this Schiavo case. I don't believe everything I see on the Internet, but I saw a site a couple of days ago that suggested that there was possible criminal behavior on the part of the husband prior to her arriving at the emergency room. And there's x-ray and bone scan evidence of chronic abuse in this lady.
I had not heard that. I haven't seen that in any of the accounts.
It's not a typical case. When I first heard about it, I said to myself, oh, God, you know, pull the tube, you know, 13 years is too long. But
Where did you see that, John? I haven't heard.
I don't know the site. I could probably.
Well, look, we just got snookered on a Rush Limbaugh's gay story, and I don't think there's any truth to that. So,
I could probably call you in about just before your show is over to get you the site.
All right, tell my producer, call it in and let my producer know. But let's assume the worst. Let's assume, now this says a heart attack, that she was admitted originally with
evidence of a heart attack. Some of the nursing personnel in both the nursing home and the hospital were saying that there were no elevated cardiac enzymes, there's no evidence of a heart attack. The husband later sued the hospital. The whole thing is a zoo. He's got a new girlfriend, wants to marry her, and can't until this woman dies. But there's a lot of evidence.
Why can't he get divorced? Can he not get divorced from her? If she's comatose?
I don't know how you divorce a comatose person. I would have to consult an attorney on that. but I'll get back to you.
All right, but let's say everything you're saying is right.
Yes.
Do you keep the feeding tube going? She's apparently severely brain damaged.
Well, there's evidence that he promised in court with a malpractice suit that he would spend the money on rehabbing her because early on she was not a vegetable. And then he would storm into the nursing home two or three times a week and intimidate the staff and make sure that no rehab was going whatever. And there are on this Internet site, there are affidavits by one of the nurses who was fired the next day after she called the police that the husband was making sure that absolutely no rehab could occur.
All right. Well, let's look into it, John. I thank you for the heads up. 303-382-1150. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
There's a spot.
By the shopping carts?
Well, how about here?
Next to that rust bucket? Wait, there's one.
It's a little far away, isn't it?
Yeah, perfect.
You want to keep your car protected. No one understands that better than your State Farm agent. That's why we insure more cars than anyone else. Insurance and financial services.
This week on Colorado State of Mind, an ongoing feud between a woman's parents and her husband ended last week when her feeding tube was removed. The court-ordered removal of the feeding tube was upheld on numerous appeals over the objections of the Florida woman's parents and Governor Jeb Bush. The 39-year-old woman has been in a comatose state for nearly 13 years. Her husband argued that she wouldn't want to be kept alive by artificial means. Her parents said she was responding to voices and may have gotten better but just didn't show it. Doctors say the woman is in a persistent vegetative state with almost no hope to recover. So, is removing the feeding tube an act of mercy or an act of murder? What do you think? Join me, Greg Dobbs, and a panel of Coloradans to discuss this and more on Friday night at 8:30 on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. Join the discussion online anytime on the Colorado State of Mind discussion board at rmpbs.org. But tune in Friday night at 8:30 for Colorado State of Mind only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
Denver's job picture is in the dumps. Just last year, the city lost 23,000 jobs. If you're tired of our down economy, join Mayor John Hickenlooper and Denver City Councilman Doug Linkhart at the Jumpstart Denver Economic Forum tonight, October 21st, at the Tivoli Town Hall on the Auraria campus. The event starts at 5:30 p.m. and the public is invited to provide ideas for getting Denver's economy moving again. For information on tonight's Jumpstart Denver Forum, go to jumpstartdenver.com or call 720-865-8000.
I am
Doug Pellett. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
127 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 3 o'clock. Judy Collins will join us in the next hour, so stay with us. We're talking about the woman in Florida. The courts have decided that the feeding tube can be removed. Some of you are saying that the husband has been terrible, and I've got a bunch of information in front of me. Here is a quote. When is that bitch going to die? Apparently, it sounds like maybe he said that about her. But assuming that, you know, he's been as brutal to her as some of you are suggesting, and there's been severe brain damage, and she's been on this feeding tube for 13 years, is there an argument to be made for the humane thing to do here is just let it go? It's too late now, I think, it sounds like. I mean, I'm looking at this from the outside. I'm not her mother. 303-382-1150. I'm not her sister. I'm not her daughter. I'm not the loved one here. So in my mom's case, I thought they kind of moved a little bit too quickly, but maybe they do that. I mean, the doctor said, look, this is what your mother wanted. She was very clear about this. And the nurse had handled these kinds of things for 20 years. So quietly, this kind of thing has been going on, goes on all the time in hospitals where they pull the feeding tubes, they pull the vent, they pull the hydration, whatever hydrates you, and they know you're terminal and you're left to die naturally. Otherwise, once you're on a ventilator, I don't think, I think legally they can't pull you off forever. So 303-382-1150, what decision would you make here, knowing what you know? Elaine from Aurora, hi, you're live with Enid on Enid Live.
Hello, Enid. I don't know the particulars of this case, especially what's coming up with the last couple callers here, but can I just make a general comment? I have a living will for myself, and I would hope that my wishes would be respected, just like you respected the wishes of your mother. What bothers me the most is these people. I'm not talking about her parents, because obviously they're in a great deal of pain. I feel for them very deeply. But outside people, for example, religious right people in this case, who have absolutely no stake in this whatsoever, they do not have to live with the consequences of it, and I think they ought to just butt out. That's my opinion. I think that when people make decisions like this for themselves, or maybe this husband doesn't love her, but in other cases, like with your mom, there are loved ones who care very much about this person who also have to live with the consequences of the final resolution of the issue. They're the ones who should make the decision.
Well, my mother had said in advance, and she was good up until the very end, she said, I'm ready now. She had been dealing with emphysema, and there was a period of time when she thought she was really dying, and everything was an effort. She couldn't, and she had refused to go to pulmonologist, and for some reason she saw a kind of surgery in the newspaper, so that sent her to a pulmonologist, and when he evaluated her, he said, you don't need to be on oxygen. They threw out the oxygen that day. He said, here are some inhalers, and those inhalers were like a miracle drug that gave her her life back until the very end. At the end, they ceased to work as well, but she got 2 years that she never thought she could have. She went to, got to see her two nieces bat mitzvah in Nashville. And I mean, she really, she got to dance. She had a fabulous evening. She got to do things that she thought she wasn't going to anymore be able to do. And so it gave her her life back. And, but she, even in that period of time, she said, nope, I'm done. This is it. This is what I want. She was very clear about it.
Well, you see,
but this, here you have a situation where the husband apparently got $750,000, which was supposed to be a trust fund for the wife for her rehab, and the minute he banked it, he refused to allow any rehab treatments whatsoever. Now, this is according to a particular website. I hope this is true. We got burned on the Rush story, so I hope this is true. He also apparently got $300,000 for loss of companionship, and that money went to the lawyers, so I don't know.
But how long could this go on? Could this go on forever if they keep her on the feeding tubes and the ventilator and all that? I mean,
I don't know. You know, I don't know.
The other thing is, both of my parents are in their 80s, so someday I may face this. And this may not be the situation in this case, but I would think you'd have respect enough for the individual and their dignity to let them have control over this part of their life. And again, I would say people who have no stake in this ought to just shut up and leave them alone.
Well, that I agree with you there. But the woman who, when they brought her in, wait, now she's about 39 right now, right?
Yeah.
Well, so do the math. 13 years ago, so what, 26 years old, who at 26 has any kind of a will, a living will, or decides what they want done with their, you know, should something like this occur? You're not thinking about that when you're 26 years
old.
Exactly.
That's a hard situation.
Yeah. Elaine, I thank you for
thank
the call. 303-382-1150. Catherine, calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live
Therein
with Enid.
Why is the sadness for Enid? Nobody thinks. I am wearing and have worn for almost 50 years. No CPR, no resuscitation. As you can probably tell, I've reached the age where I wonder why in the world I want to live anyhow. But everybody, every kid that is beyond 18 should wear in their wallet, on their wrist, or wherever, and certainly tell everybody what they choose. Because these kids that are down at Craig, many of them don't want to be where they are. They much prefer to have had no CPR and no resuscitation. But if you don't put it down in writing, it counts nothing. And by the way, the state of Colorado has wisely changed their laws, I think 5 times now, where the living will that one signs has to be signed over and over and over again.
You have to you can't just sign it once. You have to keep renewing.
No, it's not that. They crawl in your coffin, Enid, at every session and decide what's good for you. Like birth control.
Yeah.
Speaking
of which, this story is just coming across the partial. The Senate is expected to approve a ban on late-term abortion, or what has been called partial birth abortion, today. So
that is a non-medical term.
For conservatives who want government to butt out of every aspect of one's life except for the uterus, I guess it's a win. Catherine, we're going to leave it there. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. We're talking about this Terry, I guess, Schiavo, her death. They're going to pull the feeding tube. The courts said, okay, do it. And now the Florida legislature has gotten involved in it, and they want to reinstate the feeding tube. So I don't know. I don't know what kind of a guy the husband has been. If he's been really a jerk, maybe this is what he deserves. But gosh, she's 13 years in a coma, feeding tube, severe brain damage. If she can't sustain on her own, I mean, at what point do you say, you know, let's let nature take over here? I don't want to sound hard-hearted about this, but... what do you think? It's a tough one. 303-382-1150. And also a tough one, well, not so tough to me anyway. This 20-year-old college student who's now facing 10 years in prison for smuggling box cutters aboard planes, he had been emailing the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, for quite a while, telling them how you can smuggle this stuff, that they have a security breach here, that, you know, he was trying to give them information and they completely ignored him. Like bureaucracies who think they know what to do best, they completely ignored him. And security, in fact, missed the box cutters 6 different times. I think that they should write this kid a thank you note. By all accounts, this kid is a really solid citizen. He's a ham radio operator. He is solid in his work. He goes to a Quaker college. He gets scholarships. He's a real Dudley Do-Right. And I think instead of 10 years in prison, because this administration feels embarrassed by what a 20-year-old uncovered, they should put him on their team, and he can uncover more security breaches. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 80 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by your Greater Denver Area Toyota dealers. Proposed legislation would make possession of red and blue police lights and impersonating a police officer a felony. The bill has been proposed by State Representative Bob McCluskey of Fort Collins in reaction to the murder of Lacey Miller of Fort Collins. She was killed by a man impersonating a police officer who had red and blue lights on his car. Former CU quarterback John Hessler had what's being called a good restful night last night. Hessler is in a coma and in critical but stable condition at a Denver hospital. Hessler was injured in a hit-and-run accident Sunday on I-76. Kobe Bryant's sexual assault case is going to trial. An Eagle County judge ruled that while the prosecution's evidence was minimal, it was enough to send the case to trial. Bryant will be back in court on November 10th for a hearing in district court. The man suspected of masterminding the 9/11 attacks is now also believed
believed to have personally been behind the murder of Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl. An unnamed U.S. official says Washington has long suspected Khalid Sheikh Mohammed of the brutal slaying. A decorated Marine who helped rescue Private First Class Jessica Lynch has been gunned down in California while on weekend leave. He was outside of his father's home in Long Beach when shots rang out. Police say they have no motive and no suspects in that shooting. D.C. area sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad is spending the second day of testimony in his capital trial murder, questioning police officers and at least one alleged eyewitness. One of the officers he questioned told the court that he pulled Muhammad's car over near the scene of one of last October's serial shootings, but that he didn't hold him because there was no reason. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche take on the Boston Bruins tonight at the Pepsi Center. The Avs are even at 2-2 this season. An overtime preseason win for the Denver Nuggets last night as they beat the Portland Trail Blazers 101-95. So far in the preseason, Nuggets are 4-2. The World Series shifts to Miami tonight for Game 3. The best-of-seven series between the Florida Marlins and the New York Yankees is tied at one game each. Toyota owners win a $10,000 American Express-branded gift card. No purchase required. Buy an oil and filter change, battery and brake inspection, plus tire rotation for $35.95 through $10.31. See participating dealers for details. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
Belcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Belcaro was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Belcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Belcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Belcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at Belcaro.com.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the two John Elway Nissan showrooms, and we are seeing a little bit of slowing now. Northbound I-25 heading towards 225. There seems to be some moderate slowing through there. Cleaning up an accident at Bellevue and University, injury accident there. At John Elway Nissan showrooms, get a 2004 Sentra for just over $14,000. Nobody does Nissan like John Elway. New 2004s at 03 prices. Go to John Elway South and North for details. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Near record high temperatures this afternoon, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Mostly clear tonight, a low down to 48. We should break the record on Wednesday again with sunshine, a high of 84, the record being 81 set back in 1975. Again, a hot day Thursday, partly cloudy, 83. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 80 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
There are a few reasons to wish summer were still here. One, because it's summer, and two, because winter just beats up your home. The snow comes, then the freeze, then ice expands in the cracks in the walls. This is Greg Dobbs, and welcome to the freeze-thaw cycle that's just a normal part of winter in Colorado. But damage from the cycle is normal, too, which is why you want to call Ironclad Painting. Using Benjamin Moore Premium Paints, they can stop the damage before it starts. They do large and small home remodeling and handyman jobs, too. For paint, as I say, they use premium paint from Benjamin Moore. And for peace of mind, they guarantee everything for 5 whole years, some materials for life. But can you trust them? Well, Ironclad is a family-owned business and has been for more than 20 years. They'll always be there for you. So give them a call at 303-347-8099. Please tell them Greg Dobbs sent you. 347-8099. Ironclad Painting, home of Benjamin Moore Premium Paints and the Ironclad Guarantee.
KNRC Market Watch.
It appears we rented fewer movies at Blockbuster last summer. Company says a decline in rentals helped to pull revenue down about 2.5%. And while the company still beat Wall Street expectations, it only did so by cutting costs. Blockbuster stock now down over $2,
or 10%. We all know how expensive candy is at the movie theater, and AMC has decided to get into the act, launching its own privately labeled candy to sell exclusively in its movie houses, something it calls a first for the industry. AMC stock right now is up a nickel. Wall Street is mixed. Dow Industrial still negative, down 15 points. NASDAQ, though, is up 60, and the S&P 500 is ahead by 2 points. An unlucky quarter for MGM Grand. Not only did a tiger attack put an end to Siegfried and Roy's show, but a number of lucky gamblers walked away with big bucks, leaving less cash than expected in MGM's casinos. That pulled profit down 32%. Stock in MGM Grand now down over a half dollar. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Closes your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
143 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and in the 2 o'clock hour, Judy Collins, if all goes well, will be joining us live in studio, and I'm eager to meet her. I've been a great fan of her work, and she has a new book out. She's gone through some tough times, and the book is called Sanity and Grace, A Journey of Suicide, Survival, and Strength. If you're a fan, if you're an admirer of Judy Collins, you can meet her tonight at Tatter Cover, Cherry Creek. It starts at 7:30, but you won't be able to get in unless you stand in line, and they're going to be giving away tickets, free tickets, but it starts at 6:30 in that case. We've been talking about a lot of things. We've been talking about the young man who's 20 years old who pleaded with the TSA that they had security breaches, and when they did nothing at all, he showed them in six different ways. The security missed the box cutters six different times on six different occasions. So now they want to throw him in jail for 10 years. What they should do is put him on staff at the TSA to find security breaches and write him a thank you note. That's what I think they should do. We're also talking about the Florida woman, 39 years old. The feeding tube has been pulled out. She's been in a coma for 13 years. What would you do? It's a tough situation. And finally, the Army is investigating the treatment of ill Iraq veterans. And we've been getting all kinds of information from many of you. There have been complaints that hundreds of sick and wounded soldiers who just returned from Iraq are languishing in crudely furnished barracks in this country without proper medical care at Fort Stewart Military Base. Many of the soldiers have been housed in short-term training barracks with concrete floors, outdoor latrines. Many have had to wait weeks to see a doctor. Now, I find that incredible. You come back and you're hurt from Iraq and you have to wait weeks in this country to see a doctor? I don't get that part. Anyway, it turns out that doctors and dollars are being now rushed to Fort Stewart because this has gotten a lot of publicity. The Army said today that it's sending doctors to Fort Stewart to help hundreds of sick and injured soldiers, including Iraq veterans who say they are waiting weeks and months for proper medical help. Many of the Army Reserve and National Guard personnel in medical hold at the base are living in steamy cement training barracks that they say are unacceptable for sick and injured soldiers. Again, concrete floors, outdoor latrines, and so on. The Army said in its statement that it would spend money to improve those living conditions and is dispatching a team to look into the soldiers' complaints. The Army does acknowledge that medical hold challenges exist. Remember now that you were having to pay also for your own food if you were injured in Iraq and you were hospitalized here in this country. You were being charged $8.10 a day. They put a stop to it because it got so much negative publicity. You lose your foot. Your foot gets shot off. You don't pay for your medical treatment, but you have to pay for your food in the hospital. That Jell-O that you're gumming down, you got to pay $8.10 a day, or you did until the publicity became untenable here. And more than 30 soldiers who came home from Iraq for 2 weeks of leave, guess what? They have failed to show up for their flights back to the combat zone. The soldiers among more than 1,300 troops so far in the first large-scale home leave program since Vietnam have yet to be declared absent without leave. It would be a violation of military law, but we told you this, and we told you this last week or the week before, that the soldier hotlines have been overwhelmed with phone calls from soldiers wondering what the penalties will be if they were to go AWOL. So the Army, in an experiment, if you have been in Iraq, they're now letting you, because the tour of duty was much extended for some troops over there, more than they thought would be the case, they're letting them come home for two-week R&R, not to Europe. Now, when people were fighting in Vietnam, the R&Rs were in Asia, I think. Maybe there were some R&Rs in Europe. They're letting them come home for 2 weeks, and a lot of them don't want to go back. And you know what? I can't say that I blame them, because every day a few more are being picked off. So more than 30 soldiers who came home from Iraq. Now, you can argue, are they a wussier crew than the World War II crew? You know, remember now, it's a different time and place. Our soldiers today are what? They're in their 20s, a lot of them. They're used to a different lifestyle. Guess what? Just opened at the Iraq, at the Baghdad airport. A Burger King. These guys, some of them drive hundreds of miles to go get a Burger King. They can go eat for free in another area at the airport, but no, they're lining up for Burger Kings, and it's one of the most profitable Burger Kings in the whole world. Because you can get a Whopper, and you can have a taste of home, and, you know, you're in heaven. But more than 30 soldiers who came home from Iraq for 2 weeks of leave have failed to show up for their flights back. A small number have been granted emergency extensions by military commanders because of extenuating circumstances, including deaths in the family. Many of them are understandable due to illnesses or canceled airline flights. One soldier was unable to board his flight because he lost his wallet, while another had a sick baby. But a military advocacy group cited two cases in which service members called to say they do not want to return to the long and difficult mission in Iraq. Ultimately, every one of these cases is going to be looked into and to see if there are mitigating circumstances. But 30 guys who were, or 30 people, I'm assuming they're all men, but maybe they're not, who were supposed to go back to Iraq after their leave, somehow managed to miss their flights. 303-382-1150. You may want to comment on that. And also, the fact that the Army is investigating complaints that hundreds of sick and wounded soldiers who just returned from Iraq are not getting medical treatment. It's weeks and months. And they're languishing in facilities and are not meant for people who are sick. There are outdoor latrines. Let me ask you something. This is an administration that said, if you criticized it, that you were unpatriotic. Now you have troops coming home, and all you're hearing about are the people who are dead. You're not hearing about the transports that are coming in night after night after night after night, disgorging the severely wounded. Gene Bowles, who is a neurosurgeon from Boulder, who's come back to Boulder, had been quoted as saying that there were many thousands of people whose lives will never be the same again. Maybe they're paraplegics now. Maybe they have spinal cord injuries. Maybe they have mental trauma. In a million ways, they have been injured. And we are not hearing about those people. But here you have troops fighting this war, and now they come back to Fort Stewart, and we don't let them see a doctor for sometimes months, according to these reports. At least weeks they're languishing in facilities that are not meant to house the injured or the sick. Now, I'm asking you how patriotic that is. 303-382-1150. I'm wondering how that could be called supporting your troops. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
The Institute of International Education brings well-known experts to Denver to share insights about world affairs. Here's what Washington Post writer T.R. Reid had to say about changes going on right now in Europe.
Right now in Europe, there really is an overwhelming sense of history. An extremely important transformation is underway right now. The Europeans feel this very strongly, and I think when we Americans are there, we can feel it too. There is a sense of really fundamental change, and this change is the unification of Europe, which is very strong. Has gone farther than almost all Americans know. It's important. It matters. In fact, I'd say it's the most important geopolitical transformation of this quarter century. My sense has been that many Americans don't get it, or at least don't see how important it is, or don't see why we should care. My argument is this is important. It is happening. It's gone further than we know, and we better care. We have to care whether we want to or not.
Want to know more? Join us on the web at denverworldaffairscouncil.org.
Heartburn knows how irritating it can be.
which is why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the speed of life.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Wildlife Experience Museum will host Trick or Treat Off the Street, a safe and fun Halloween celebration on Halloween night from 5:30 to 8 p.m. The party will include scary stories, creepy crafts, and numerous candy stations. The event is free for kids 4 and under, $2 for kids 5 to 12, and $4 for adults 13 plus. The Wildlife Experience is located at Lincoln Avenue and Peoria, 1 mile east of I-25. For information, go to thewildlifeexperience.org.
Talk to Lionel.
Everybody's trying to reinvent this thing called dating, meeting. Oh, here's one for you. This one says she's fun-loving. You know, there's nothing better than somebody who loves fun. Really, I love ethnic food, now here we go, and 80s movies. You know what we should have? Dumbass. I'm a semi-literate who doesn't know what to say. Basically what they're saying is, do you really care what movies I like? Here's my picture.
Lionel, weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Dominic Barasha.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:53 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Judy Collins joining us in a little while in the 2 o'clock hour. We're talking about how supportive is it of your troops when they come back hurt or sick from Iraq and they're allowed to language in facilities that don't even have indoor plumbing and they don't get to see a doc for weeks and apparently months at a time. So that's what's being alleged. And it's also being reported from the UPI today that doctors and dollars are being rushed to Fort Stewart. This is in Georgia. And about 30 soldiers have, what do you know, they just missed, I guess the alarm didn't go off. They missed their flights back to Iraq. What? They don't want to go back. I mean, the contrast is too great. I don't know that it's a great experiment to have them come all the way home because, first of all, if you've been gone for a while, there are family matters that you have to attend to. So that's an issue. That's number one. And so it isn't just a relaxing time. Sometimes it can be a very stressful time. And then secondly, the contrast. I mean, Iraq is very tough. Now you're home, you're with your friends who don't have a care in the world or not compared to keeping themselves alive like you do when you're guarding unpredictable, you're in an unpredictable situation in Iraq. And then you get to eat out and you get fast food and you get to go to Wendy's and you get to go to Burger King and you get to go all over the place. And, you don't want to go back. And you'd rather go to jail than, and I don't know what the penalties are for AWOL. Those of you who are in the military, could you let me know? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. But you know what? If it's going to jail for a period of time as opposed to the possibility of being dead forever, which would you do? Would you maybe think, I'm not actively recruiting deserters here. I'm just talking about human nature. And I liked Paul Campos's column today I think it's in the Rocky. He says more than 6,000 Americans are going to die today. About 1,300 of these people will be less than 65 years old. Every single day, hundreds of Americans in the prime of their lives die as a consequence of undiagnosed or untreatable illnesses, accidents, crime, and largely unavoidable risks. The risk we run, and he's making the contrast here, the point that the risk we run of dying in a terrorist attack from its current infinitesimal level is essentially little, zero statistically. Thousands of Americans die every day. But what our leaders have done is to make zero deaths from terrorism a war that we can't possibly win, and it's just a way to impose acts like the Patriot Act. It's a way for more government control. You know, just like the war on drugs, zero drug tolerance, you can't win that war. It's an absurd policy. That's what he's saying. So we are becoming, he says, we are in danger of becoming one nation under surveillance. He's got that right. Adam, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good afternoon, Enid.
Hi, Adam.
As much as I would love to see this somehow pinned on the administration, soldiers have been treated this way since the French and Indian Wars, and it's something, I don't know, it's an abomination, but it's the history of this country that we always do it.
Well, I keep hearing stories about how bad the VA system is becoming, that they don't let you know what your benefits are, and that you sometimes have to wait a long time to be seen. I don't know how much, I imagine that varies from region to region, but certainly this has got to be terrible here, these people coming. Were you in the military, Adam?
I was. I spent 10 years in the Army.
You did?
Yes.
So for you, this is just SOP.
Absolutely. I mean, I was fortunate enough to only serve during peacetime, but I saw my brother come home from Vietnam, and it was the same story then. He was fortunate enough to escape serious injury there, but he had plenty of friends who they couldn't get medical care. They couldn't use their benefits. It was a joke.
Wow.
And it's been that way. You go all the way back to Shays' Rebellion after the Revolutionary War. The soldiers weren't getting paid. They wanted their money, and the government wouldn't.
Well, I think this publicity has been good because now dollars and doctors are being rushed to Fort Stewart. Adam, I thank you. Thank you so much for the call. Thanks for the insight. 303-321-1150. Fred on the cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Fred. What's the punishment?
He was asking about whether or not they could charge you people with AWOL and what they could give them.
Yeah, how much?
They can actually charge them with desertion because it's during wartime. And there's prison time and an undesirable discharge facing them.
How much prison time?
I'm not sure. I think it's 10 years, but I'm not sure.
10 years?
It's pretty steep.
Yeah, it's pretty. Dishonorable discharge, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay. What would you do?
Well, I would have went in the first place.
Okay. Thanks, Fred. Thanks for the call. All right. What would you do? 30 of them somehow missed their planes back to their flights back to Baghdad. They overslept. The alarm clock didn't go off. Gee, 10 years in jail. Wow, that's pretty steep. Well, I could be snotty about it and say, look, if you don't have the taste for this, don't sign up in the first place. But a lot of people from small towns who didn't have many other options, who came from very poor families, looked at this as a way up and out. I think we can do better in our treatment of our hurt, our sick, our wounded coming back from Iraq, give them more medical care, not make them wait months, weeks to see doctors. One more hour of Enid coming up. Judy Collins will join us next right here on AM 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 80 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Rocky Mountain News. Proposed legislation from State Representative Bob McCluskey of Fort Collins would make it a felony to possess red and blue police lights and impersonate a police officer. Wendy Cohen of Fort Collins, mother of slain police impersonator victim Lacey Miller, applauds this bill because she believes police lights in the hands of the wrong person resulted in Lacey's death.
This kid wouldn't have had lights. She'd still be here. She'd be in college, she'd be working, she'd be watching TV, and she's not, and I don't want another family to have to go through that.
Lacey Miller was murdered after pulling over when she saw red and blue flashing lights in her rearview mirror. The man in that car was impersonating a police officer. He later confessed to murdering Miller. Governor Bill Owens supports the proposed legislation, and Representative McCluskey says he expects bipartisan support in the legislature. John Hessler is hanging tough. The former CU quarterback had a good, restful night last night. He remains in critical but stable condition and is still in a coma at a Denver hospital. That's from Colorado Sports Information Director Dave Plotty, who heard from friends of the family. Hessler was injured in a hit-and-run accident Sunday on I-76 just north of I-25. In response to the heavy interest in Hessler's status, a number has been established featuring recorded updates on the quarterback's health. It's 303-904-4200. 4525. NBA star Kobe Bryant will stand trial on sexual assault charges. In sending the case to trial, Judge Frederick Gannett said the evidence against Bryant could only be described as minimal. Former Denver District Attorney Norm Earley is perplexed by the judge's statement.
Well, I don't know if it's because he's getting attention or whether he feels that he owes it to the public to try to educate the public and the media and the public through the media. But he would never do this in a normal case. There would just be a statement that there's probable cause found, bound over for trial.
Early was on NBC's Today Show. Bryant, the L.A. Lakers star, is required to appear in court again on November 10th. It's now believed that Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl was killed by the same man who allegedly masterminded the 9/11 terror attacks. A U.S. official speaking on condition of anonymity said Washington has suspected Khalid Sheikh Mohammed for some time, but declined to say exactly what information led to that conclusion. Mohammed was captured in Pakistan in March. He's being held in an undisclosed location. Daniel Pearl disappeared in Karachi, Pakistan early last year while investigating a story on Islamic extremists. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says the military will conduct an internal investigation into controversial comments by a Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. In a recent church speech, Lieutenant General William Boykin portrayed the U.S. battle with Islamic radicals as a clash with Satan. He said they're trying to destroy America because the U.S. is a Christian nation. Rumsfeld says that he is not familiar with what was said.
I had not seen General Boykin's comments. I have since seen one of the network tapes, and it had a lot of very difficult to understand words with subtitles, which I was not able to verify.
The remarks drew sharp criticism from some Democrats and religious and civil rights groups. Boykin has since apologized. Rumsfeld says the general requested the probe by a military inspector general. A Michigan man who went over Niagara Falls yesterday without a safety device and survived is now facing charges. Niagara Parks police spokesman Paul Forcier says it was not an accident.
Yeah, we're basically investigating as an intentional act, obviously, considering the charges. It was an intentional act.
40-year-old Kirk Jones has been charged with unlawfully performing a stunt in violation of Canada's Niagara Parks Act. He's been taken to Greater Niagara General Hospital for medical care and psychiatric assessment. An Ontario Park spokesman says officials are convinced Jones went over the falls on purpose. Jones also faces charges of criminal mischief. A judge will decide whether that charge merits jail time. He also is facing a fine of up to $10,000 for his plunge. A controversial procedure known as partial birth abortions could be banned after years of battles on Capitol Hill. Following recent action by the House, the Senate is expected to give the bill final approval today. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche play at home tonight against the Boston Bruins. So far this season, the Avs are 2-2. Denver Nuggets beat the Portland Trailblazers 101-95 in overtime last night in preseason action. The Nuggets will be in Houston tomorrow night for another preseason game. And the New York Yankees and Florida Marlins play Game 3 of the World Series tonight in Miami. Series is tied at one game each. Don't miss Top of the Rocky, a special 48-page section of the Rocky Mountain News featuring Denver's top choices. It's only available October 30th and only in the Rocky Mountain News. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Oh, Larry, what a wonderful spot for our picnic.
Isn't it? The weather's just right.
Did someone say picnic?
Hey, you're stepping on the goat cheese.
Oops, so sorry, but I heard someone say picnic. And as the anniversary fairy for the Denver Center Theater Company, I must respond to emergency calls for tickets to Picnic. So are you going?
Going? We're having the picnic now.
Mmm, yummy sandwiches. But I meant the play picnic.
We're just trying to enjoy.
Oh, wine.
Did you want something?
Yes. I want you to picture a small town in Kansas. A single mom and her two teenage daughters get ready for the big Labor Day picnic. And then a hunky drifter blows into town, and the sexual tension ignites. But if you'd rather just eat goat cheese...
Oh, no, no, we'll go see Picnic.
My work here is done.
Our 25th season is our best yet. Come celebrate at the Denver Center Theater Company with tickets to Picnic, opening October 16th. Call 303-893-4100.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by AT&T Wireless. Seeing some slowing southbound I-25 around the University Curve. Watch for some heavy traffic through there. Heavy traffic northbound I-25 through the Tech Center. Watch for some construction westbound I-70 at West Colfax. Find a new way to connect. Reach out on the wireless service America trusts. AT&T Wireless. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Near record high temperatures this afternoon, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Mostly clear tonight, a low down to 48. We should break the record on Wednesday again with sunshine, a high of 84, the record being 81 set back in 1975. Again, a hot day Thursday, partly cloudy 83. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 80 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
Isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, you in midair. Where are the clouds? Isn't it bliss? You approve, one who keeps Terry around, one who can't move, but where are the clouds, send in the clouds, just when I...
208, 8 minutes after 2 o'clock, welcome to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live, and with me live in studio, the singer of the wonderful song, a song that has been much parodied, but is beautiful when you sing it. Judy Collins, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
The book, her new book, Sanity and Grace, A Journey of Suicide, Survival, and Strength. You can meet her tonight at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30, but you have to get there by 6:30 because
yeah.
They're expecting quite a crowd, and they're going to be giving out free tickets. Talk to me about the book.
Well,
What prompted you to write the book?
Of course, this is a book that is terribly personal, but the thing about suicide is it affects so many people, and there are so many people who are touched by it in some way in their lives. I had lost my son in 1992 to suicide, and throughout the years, I was writing about the subject, and I was writing meditations and prayers to kind of get through it, and writing a lot about the history and doing a lot of reading and study and trying to figure out why there's such a terrible taboo about the subject. And I decided that I would have to share that with people, and I wanted to write a book just about the subject. And so I've done it, and I'm hoping that there is some healing and that some people would be able to be helped by what I've been through.
How old was your son?
My son was 33.
Did you know, is that your only child? Was that your
yes.
only child?
Yes, he was.
And were you aware that he was, I'm assuming that when you commit suicide, you're very depressed. Were you aware that he was that close?
You know, there are many, many things about suicide that are mysterious. Depression among them. My son was an alcoholic and had a drug and alcohol problem and was using on and off in his early years, right up through the age of 25, and then he got sober. And he had wonderful 7 years of sobriety and had a wonderful family and had a child who's now 16, actually, my divine granddaughter. And but then he went into relapse. But we know about alcoholism that it is a disease and that relapse is part of the game, part of the risk. And also we know that alcoholics, when they're drinking, have a higher rate of suicide. And for good reason, because when you're drinking, you're really not rational. And other elements like mental illness, like depression, like biochemical imbalance can take a part. So everyone who takes their life has a reason. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But it's the condition in which they are that dictates whether they take an action on the suicide or not. But it is a medical condition. It's not a moral issue. And it's not a matter of, it must have been your fault. There are no guilts in suicide.
How did you hear about it? Where were you? Where was he?
He was in Minnesota. I was in New York, planning my trip to see him. And I heard about it from one of my brothers came to my house to tell me.
And
so I heard about it in person.
And this had to be...
Oh, it was the worst. I mean, you know, you have the grief, you have the shock, you have the sudden loss, you have all the things that you have with all griefs. And in addition to that, with suicide, you get this legacy which has been laid on survivors by the culture, and which is finally, I'm saying in this book, enough. We have to talk about it. We have to talk about the issues that surround it. And we have to lift that cloud off of the survivors. Because the real difficulty in survival comes from thinking that somehow we may have caused it, and we didn't.
So it's a legacy of guilt.
It's a legacy of guilt that's got to be wiped out. You know, people tell me all the time, I meet people who say, oh, there was a suicide in my family, and, you know, my mother's brother killed himself, and we never mentioned his name again. Never. It's like they're disappeared, like some of those South American countries where political enemies are disappeared, or just plain old people. You know, that's why I support Amnesty International, because so many people in the world are harvested in this shameful attempt to kind of get rid of them. Suicides are often gotten rid of psychologically in the same kind of awful way. We never see them. We never think about them. We don't talk about how wonderful they were or how angry we were about the death.
That's another
a big part of it.
That's true. And people don't talk about that with death, but there's a lot of anger with death.
People that you love
the most, it's like, how can you leave me? How
exactly.
could you die? Even if it's an expected, you know, a terminal kind of situation.
And nothing is ever anything but a surprise, because death is always the greatest surprise.
Excuse me. My guest is Judy Collins. Her new book, Sanity and Grace, A Journey of Suicide, Survival, and Strength. Did you have any addiction problems, Judy?
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm...
Let's hear it. Come clean, Judy.
Listen, Enid, I'm a regular girl. I'm a woman of many experiences. And I hardly know how I would have handled life if I hadn't had to deal with addiction. My goodness. I wouldn't have been a true child of the 60s, I guess.
Well, what addictions? List them on multiple pages for us.
Well, let's start with sugar. That was always a good one.
Oh, well, how about chocolate?
That's still, of course.
For me, that's my drug of choice.
Still the drug of choice. But I had a real, I drank for 23 years. I drank as much as I could, whenever I could, and under all circumstances, happy or sad.
How could you perform?
Well, I didn't drink when I performed, for the most part. And I was very fortunate because I was very well trained. I had such a good training as a professional, even as a child. You know, I have a friend who says that she wasn't raised, she was trained as a child. I was trained as a child with Brico, my teacher.
If anybody hasn't seen the film, it's called what, Antonia?
Antonia, A Portrait of the Woman.
It's a wonderful film, and it's what, now out on
it's
DVD?
It's now on DVD, and of course it's about a real Denver heroine, Dr. Antonia Brico, who was my teacher, but also was the first pioneer woman conductor in the country. And she conducted major symphony orchestras from 1929 right on through. And she had her own orchestra in here in Denver. And so I made a film about her, which was nominated for an Academy
Award.
It was
a wonderful film. And for people who don't know, you're a Denver girl. Your dad was in radio in Denver.
Yeah. And he was a real hero here in this city. People knew Chuck Collins Calling you know, he was a star. Everybody on the street would stop him, and people would say, oh, you're Chuck's daughter. You know, you must just have such a wonderful life.
Was he around to see your huge success?
Oh, yes, he really was. He died in 1968, and by then, it was just, I suppose, that was the following year that I had my, no, probably it was 68, I had it for my first really big hit. And but I had been making records and been a successful performer for many years before that.
Is your Chelsea Morning the reason that Bill Clinton and Hillary named their daughter Chelsea?
Well, I'll tell you two versions of that. They have said that he's always been wonderfully vocal about my music and loving my music. Both the Clintons have, and I just adore them. And they Bill said when I first got to know them, he had said, what record would you keep if you had to take just one record out of your collection? This was when he was still governor, and he said, oh, that's easy, Colors of the Day. And I was so shocked. They named all the songs, and he actually knew what he was talking about. And so they are fans, and I had been to the White House a lot and gotten to know them very well. But I thought it was very funny that they've always told me that they named Chelsea after my version of Chelsea Morning. But when I saw the first lady on the Joni Mitchell show, she told Joni that she had named Chelsea after Joni's song.
Spoken like a true politician.
I guess the favorite singer is who's in the room. It's not fair. They've been wonderful to me, and I'm devoted to them. I wish she would run.
A lot of people wish she would run.
I wish she would run. I think she is.
But she represents you in New York.
She represents me in New York, and I would not want to lose her as a senator. Because she's really first rate. She's made a fine senatorship out of her election, and I'm sorry to say that if she did run, I would lose a great senator, but gain a great president.
You can meet Judy Collins tonight at Tattered Cover, 7:30, Cherry Creek. Get there at 6:30 if you want tickets. Okay, you were drinking.
What
are the list of addictions? Drinking, were you doing drugs?
Well,
you're a musician,
once in a while. I did what was around.
What was around?
I was sort of a people pleaser, and I suppose there were times when there were other drugs, but... And, you know, basically I had all the signs of depression. I had a suicide attempt when I was 14.
You attempted
my own. I had lots of years and years of therapy to deal with my panic attacks, with my depressions. Fortunately, even in those early years when I was 25, 26, when I was having tremendous success already, I mean, it was the sort of harbinger of what was to come, which is this wonderful career that I have today, and the singing all over the world, and the making records, and yet there I was. I learned early on that I had to apply the discipline that I knew about music to my physical life. So right away in my early 20s, I started exercising like a fiend, and that probably saved my life, that and the therapy that I had.
Well, here's what's remarkable, because this is radio, people can't see you. You look fabulous.
Thank you.
And it looks like the kind of fabulous that is natural.
Yeah, it is. I'm a no-natural girl. The only thing I do is drink a little Diet Coke sometimes.
This doesn't look like the stuff that was sculpted. I love these prominent people who spend a fortune to be sculpted by a cosmetic surgeon, and then they do a video how you can look like that if you only eat and exercise a certain way. Anyway, you look fabulous. So these
years of drinking, thank you.
Don't show on you at all.
Well, I'm very lucky.
What happened? How did you finally... In other words, take us back for a moment. Here you are. You're beginning to have your success. You've had a suicide attempt at the age of 14.
Mm.
And somewhere in your 20s, you're beginning to have very serious success. How do you reconcile the success with the other feelings, the conflicting feelings that would have caused you to do a suicide attempt? Was drinking the way that you reconciled things at that point?
Well, I don't think we have a lot to say with these conditions that we're given to deal with. I think that they're part of our chemical makeup, and that comes with any life. Success, you know, I don't care what you're doing. I mean, everybody claims that they can't stop drinking because, by the way, how could I not drink in my industry? Quotes, whatever that industry might
be.
So whether you're a rock star or a television star or a housewife or... You know, a salesman, a car salesman, there are always excuses and reasons to drink, but it's not those that make you drink. If you have the disease of alcoholism, then you might wind up being an alcoholic. And if you have the consciousness to be diagnosed or to figure it out, you can have the option of recovery, because this is a disease, can be treated, and I was lucky I got into a good treatment center.
Well, you may have a predilection for alcoholism, but I'm thinking that the reason that you would... be addicted to anything, whether it's drugs, alcohol, chocolate, eating too much, whatever, fill in the blank, is that it's a way of anesthetizing. So if things are going too well, people anesthetize. If they're going too badly, people anesthetize. They just anesthetize not to feel in a lot of cases.
But not if they don't have the gene. Not if they don't have the thing.
They may not become the alcoholic.
I know people who can have you know, a few drinks at lunch, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And they won't drink again. And they're very stressed out over a situation. No, if you have, and you know if you have it, it can't be diagnosed outside of you. You have to surrender to it yourself, but you can get help. So with major eating disorders, you know, it's a problem. It's a mental, emotional, physical, probably genetic problem. I think stress is a real sign of our times. I think we live in a tremendous stress. I'm not saying that I didn't have stress. Of course I had stress. But I also had that thing with which I could use another substance to dull the pain.
How did you kick your addiction?
I went into treatment. And I want to say 25 and a half years ago. I have to say that I'm sort of on a rampage about the insurance companies and what's happening in treatment, because insurance companies do not want to pay for treatment. And the whole push to put people in jail for addiction and things that happen during alcoholism, it's insane. It's insane. You look at my life. You know, I've had a productive, sober life experience for 25 years. I've been able to be part of the culture. I've made money for lots and lots and lots of people. I'm productive. I have a business. I employ people. I'm a success. Now, if I were in jail for a car accident, or if I had committed a crime and I were in jail, I'm costing the country money. We need to think about treatment as the option for people with the diseases of alcoholism, drug addiction. We just have to. And the insurance company are behind it all. I mean, that's where the problem
really is. They don't want to pay for it.
They don't want to pay. They don't want to pay, and the states don't want to pay. By the way, I'll tell you that I think Colorado is ahead of the game in terms of suicide. They're one of the only states, if not the only state, to have a state office for suicide prevention. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
And I think because we're talking about alcoholism now, and of course I had the good fortune to survive a lot of these addictions, but I also know that the issues of alcoholism, depression, drug addiction, mental illness are very much a part of the picture of the suicidal situation. I didn't write the book in a way as aimed to a prevention book. I wrote it to help the survivors of suicides, because the legacy is what I'm most disturbed about. That's where the secrecy lies, and I think that's where the solutions lie. Because if the survivors get on the horse and say, okay, we're going to start thinking in a holistic way about this and being truthful, maybe we can solve a lot of these problems.
My guest is Judy Collins. The book, Sanity and Grace, A Journey of Suicide, Survival, and Strength. You can meet her tonight at Cherry Creek Tattered Cover, 7:30.
Oh, Danny Boy.
Oh, that's nice.
the pipes
oh,
are
good.
Calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the leaves are dying. It's you must go and I must bide.
Denver's only independent news and talk radio station, AM 1150, KNRC.
Go to the gym and feel like you're competing in a beauty pageant?
Like, oh my God, that outfit is so last year.
Or that you've landed on Planet Meathead, where the necks you see are thicker than your thighs?
Come on, we only have 3,000 more presses to go.
Tired of hearing the grunting just before the weights crash to the floor? Then come to where fitness isn't a competition or a measure of how thick your neck is. Dumbbells Fitness prides itself in attending to the details of a workout and takes care in creating a fun and relaxed atmosphere that makes even the gym phobic feel comfortable. Dumbbells Fitness is the vegetarian of all gyms. They keep their meat in the freezer. Dumbbells Fitness is located on the second floor at the Tabor Center at 17th and Larimer in downtown Denver. Call now, 303-592-7700. That's 303-592-7700. Or log on to dumbbellsfitness.com. Visit us at Dumbbells for your authentic workout.
I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Colorado Symphony Orchestra presents violin superstar Midori, performing Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto and more. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 24th, 25th, and 26th.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
You know, the thing about winning awards is that you have to say award-winning this and award-winning that. And frankly, it's very tiring for a voice talent like myself.
Where's your Mai Tai, sir?
Thanks. But just in case you didn't know, you can download clips of award-winning news features and guest interviews from our award-winning website, made by an award-winning designer featuring award-winning hosts. Well, it's true. KNRCRadio.com has it all. But if somebody at the station wins a Nobel Prize, I'm out of here.
Line up with you. Join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Sometimes I remember the old days when the world was filled with sorrow. You might have thought I was living, but I was all.
My guest is Judy Collins.
Through
I need to go.
Haze, your smiles would greet me, saying okay, saying goodbye, saying hello. Yeah, I like to sing along with myself.
What a voice. Enid Goldstein, you're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Judy Collins live with me in studio. Her new book, Sanity and Grace, A Journey of Suicide, Survival, and Strength. She'll be at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30. You started out singing in Boulder.
I did.
In 1959.
I did.
Talk to me about the arc of your career, because, you know, we were talking in the break when Katharine Hepburn died. She died at the age of 94, 96. She had had this, she'd had ups and downs, but she pretty much had a solid career for, what, 70, 80 years.
Yeah.
Remarkable for any performer, particularly for a woman.
Particularly for a woman. And I was, you know, I guess I was a kind of a professional brat at the age of 3 or 3 and a half, because I was trotted out on the stage with my dad, who would sing. He went on tour with National School Assemblies in 1943, 1942, and I was in the car. I was the passenger. I got to sit back there and color and sing and carry on while my parents drove me around the Northeast, and my dad did concerts, and then he would have me come out on the stage. You know, I'd sing things like I'll be home for Christmas, you can count on me, and I got the idea that this is what I wanted to do. And then I started playing the piano. I studied classical piano. I learned the guitar. And by 1959, at the age of 19, I was starting my career in Boulder, Colorado, at the Michael's Pub.
Singing to
students
mostly.
Singing to students mostly. But the arc, you know, it's been extraordinary, because I had 24 years with Elektra. All those years during the war, I was making records. I was finding other writers, Joni Mitchell, Leonard Cohen,
Randy Newman. You started, did you know Marilyn Vandiver?
I was in high school with her. I was a year behind Marilyn.
She's married to the brother of a good friend of
you
mine.
You have to give her my love.
She's been on the show.
She's such a brave woman and so strong and so wonderful. I have memories of Marilyn when I was in high school. I was an East High angel like Marilyn. Marilyn, I think, was the same class as Madeline Albright. The same. They were a year ahead
did
of
you,
me.
Did you know Madeline?
I didn't know Albright, Madeline.
She was just on the program.
I know Madeline
this is like
now.
A trifecta.
She's my friend, Madeline, now. And I didn't bring her book. It's too heavy for the road because I'm on the road and she's on the road. So I'm saving it to read at home. But I was at the book party. What a party, I'll tell you. But anyway, the arc has been
so you
political.
Started, the training was, because you have an extraordinary voice that remains extraordinary even though you are 64 years old.
Thank you. And
you look fabulous.
Thank you. And I look 37, don't I?
You do look 37. and 37 is my IQ. But,
yeah, that's right.
Or is it... What does
that
somebody
was
say?
73?
50, I said. Is that my IQ or my bus size? All right. What was the training for this voice?
The training was...
This glorious instrument.
Twofold. First of all, I had incredible, fabulous training as a pianist with Brico here in Denver and with other teachers before that. I soloed with her orchestra here. I was working on the Rachmaninoff second piano concerto, you know. Da 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 da. And then I found the guitar and started learning versions of the Blue Tail Fly, which she didn't like that at all. And then I had the guitar always played. I always sang. And when I hit New York, I already had been making records, 3 or 4 records, and I found my voice teacher. And I'm a born student. You know, that's one of the reasons I wrote this book, Sanity and Grace. I'm a born student. I love to study. And I studied voice for 32 years with Max Margolies until he died.
In New York. How did you get to New York from Boulder? Who found you? How did they find you?
Well, I kept working, and I came from Boulder. I came to Denver, and I sang at the Exodus, and people heard about me in Chicago, and I was hired there at the Gate of Horn. And from there, I went through all the coffee houses. In those days, there were wonderful coffee houses all over the country. And a folk singer, traditional singer, or somebody who wrote songs, could travel around the different towns and spent 2 weeks in Oklahoma at the Budai or 2 weeks at the Purple Onion in Chicago or go to Chicago or rather in the West Coast or go to Chicago and work the Gate of Horn. And I did that. And then I got through the clubs and through the connections. I did a television show at the Village Gate in New York. And Jack Holzman heard me and said, "You're ready to make a record." And that was 1961. So I made my first record in 61.
All right, so from 59 to now is what, about 24, 25 years? No, I've got that wrong. It's almost, it's 40-some years.
It's Sorry. 44 years.
44 years.
It's 44
wow.
years.
My math is off. 44 years. So to keep...
My IQ, not my bus size.
Well, in my case, both are preceded by both a decimal point and a minus sign, but that's another story. So you go to the supermarket in the checkout line, and you see the people on the cover of People magazine. You have no idea who they are, and you don't have to memorize it either because they're here and gone in 2 seconds. And yet you have maintained your career, a wonderfully thriving career, great success over all these years, a woman, and it's not easy to do that for anybody, but particularly not for a woman. How did that happen? Part of it is fate and luck and all that other stuff, and part of it is terrific talent. But even so, a lot of people with great talent don't manage to do it. How did you manage to do it?
You know, I think that the training when I was a kid was fundamental. That's why I'm so enthusiastic about keeping the arts in schools. The training in the arts, my piano and my singing in the choir and my being part of the musical schools and choruses and choirs and the culture. You know, I was part of Denver. I mean, I had a group in high school. We used to go out and sing for the PTA and the women's clubs and do all kinds of things. Being part of the fabric of the arts was what gave me my training. And the genes, of course,
because the folk singing was a big thing in the 60s, maybe in the 70s, and then it went into eclipse, but your career didn't go into eclipse.
But I'm not a folk singer. I'm a singer. I'm a musician.
Right.
I'm a Judy Collins. You know, people meet me on a plane and they say, "What do you do?" And I say, "I'm a Judy Collins." Because that's the kind of music I sing. It's based on what I always chose, what my personal choices were. I didn't sing only folk songs. I didn't sing only protest songs. And I kind of brought it together. I think the success for me is that somebody said to me, you know, I have to emphasize my accent. If I have an accent, it is that I know how to choose songs, that I write my own songs, I run my own business. I think that's also very important.
Well, you
important.
Helped, you produced that film about your teacher,
I
Antonia
did,
Brico.
I produced and co-directed
You've written
that.
Seven books.
I'm a workaholic, you know.
Do you write song lyrics
I write
as well?
Songs. I write songs, many songs. So I've written songs, I've written books, I've recorded other people's songs. I've made 40 albums in these years. Part of it is running my own show. You know, I decided in 1973 that I wanted to know what was going on in my business. And before that, I didn't sign a check until I was 41 years old. Do you believe that? The first 20 years, I didn't sign a check.
I'm hoping not to sign any more checks myself, but I don't think you mean it in the same way.
but learning to sort of run the business and wanting to be a part of all of it and wanting to have control over what I do and make decisions about what I do. I think it's important to have an idea of where you want to go and then do your utmost to get there. And it takes a lot of discipline.
My guest is Judy Collins, the new book, Sanity and Grace, The Journey of Suicide, Survival, and Strength. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 80 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by BMW Motorcycles. Governor Bill Owens and State Representative Bob McCluskey announced a proposed bill to make possession of red and blue police lights and impersonating a police officer a felony. The proposed legislation is in response to the murder of Lacey Miller, a student in Fort Collins. A man driving a car with police lights who was impersonating a police officer confessed to murdering Miller. The Denver Parking Meter Task Force met yesterday to come up with a list of recommendations to make downtown parking more affordable. Among the suggestions, lowering the cost to $1 per hour and cutting enforcement by 2 hours to 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Office has released a videotape which shows Columbine killers Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold at a shooting practice about a month before the massacre in April 1999. The video is part of a larger release of documents related to the investigation of the tragedy at the high school. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the alleged mastermind behind the September 11th attacks, is now believed to have personally slit the throat of Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl. A U.S. official speaking on condition of anonymity said Washington had come to that belief over a period of time, but declined to say exactly what information led to that conclusion. The White House wants lawmakers to eliminate any loan reference in an $87 billion bill for military operations and reconstruction in Iraq. Budget Director Joshua Bolten wrote the House and Senate Appropriations Committees a letter stating that if the loan provision wasn't dropped from the final bill, a veto would be recommended. A police officer took the stand in day two of testimony at the trial of D.C. area sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad. The officer says he pulled the former Gulf veteran over near a scene of one of the alleged shootings, but had no legitimate cause to hold him. The witness is just one of several people questioned by Muhammad, who was granted permission to act as his own attorney yesterday. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche host the Boston Bruins tonight at the Pepsi Center. Avs take a 2-2 record into tonight's game. The Denver Nuggets and Portland Trailblazers played into overtime last night, with the Nuggets coming out on top 101-95. The Nuggets head to Houston for another preseason game tomorrow night. And Miami is the scene for Game 3 of the World Series tonight between the Florida Marlins and the New York Yankees. The best-of-seven series tied at one game apiece. BMW Motorcycles lets you ride now, pay later with zero down, no payment for 90 days, and even makes your first three payments. Get 0.9% on certain models. Restrictions apply. See your BMW motorcycle dealer for details. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:40.
KPI Channel 12 is your public television source for reliable public affairs and international news programming every day of the week. Unafraid of dissent and debate, KBDI Channel 12 features diverse perspectives on local issues and challenges our viewers to be a voice in their own community through Colorado's only television viewer call-in shows. Tune in every Wednesday night for Colorado Inside Out Live and Drawing the Line with Reggie Rivers. And don't miss BBC World News weeknights only on KBDI Channel 12, your worldview and community voice.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at toyota.com/owners.
KNRC News Time is 2:41. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by your Greater Denver Area Toyota dealers. One problem at Smoky Hill and C-470 should be just about out of there. Everything else is moving pretty nicely. Southbound I-25 at University, a little slow through there and a lot of extra traffic. Northbound I-25 through the Tech Center. Toyota owners win a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. No purchase required. Buy an oil and filter change, battery and brake inspection, plus tire rotation for $35.95 through $10.31. See participating dealer for details. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Near record high temperatures this afternoon, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Mostly clear tonight, a low down to 48. We should break the record on Wednesday again with sunshine, a high of 84, the record being 81 set back in 1975. Again, a hot day Thursday, partly cloudy 83. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 80 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Wally Frew of the Frew Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Prue Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Prue Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Prue Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Prue, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Prue, at the Prue Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Prue Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major indexes had a mixed finish. The Dow Industrials fell 30 points to 97.48. The Nasdaq rose 16 points to 1941. The S&P 500 added a point to 1,046. Big board volume was nearly 1.5 billion shares. Advancers beat decliners by a 9-7 margin. The Dow's telecom companies dialed the wrong number today. AT&T, the index's worst performer, losing 5%. Ma Bell posted lower quarterly profits and revealed it had overstated profits by $125 million back in 2001 and 2002. Fellow Dow stock SBC Communications fell 40 cents after missing quarterly profit and revenue expectations. Texas Instruments, though, helped keep the tech sector in the green, rising $1.61. Several analysts had positive comments after TI said third quarter profits more than doubled and raised its profit outlook for the current quarter. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close as your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
Yeah.
song sitting in my studio. Judy Collins, her new book, Sanity and Grace, A Journey of Suicide, Survival, and Strength. Can I tell you, I'm embarrassed to tell you this.
What?
But on the basis of that song, I enrolled in a class in Old Town in Chicago, got a guitar, a songbook, and sounded dreadful. But I was hoping to sound like you.
Oh, that is so wonderful.
The birds fled when I sang in large numbers. All right, let's go to the phone. Lita calling from Bennett. Hi, you're live with Enid and Judy Collins on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I just wanted to say hi to you. I met you in 1950.
Oh, my.
It was at your dad's radio show.
Oh.
In those days, Enid, they did live radio.
With audiences.
As opposed to what we do now, which is dead radio.
Consolidated radio.
Have recordings, but her dad used to play the piano, and I don't even remember why I was there. It's been so long, but it was a pleasure to meet you then. And
In 1950, how old were you?
I was 10.
10 years old. And you remember
maybe
this,
11?
Lita?
Huh?
You remember this 10-year-old, this precocious 10-year-old with a big voice?
I thought he was older. I thought you were about 15.
Oh, no, I wasn't that old. Not in 1950.
Well, you were very...
That would make me way beyond what I am now, otherwise.
And I want to tell you, I my favorite song that you do is Amazing Grace.
Oh, thank
you. And, you know, he knew that Amazing Grace was on the top 40.
Yep,
they
sure
were,
was.
Now, that just seems...
Now, it's so not often that a hymn makes the top 40.
No,
it's not.
This was in late 1970.
A hymn by her.
Uh-huh. I'll tell you, thank you for calling.
Lita, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you for talking with me.
I wanted to say something about Amazing Grace. My grandmother taught me the song, and when I recorded it, I did it with a bunch of friends at St. Paul's Chapel on the Columbia campus in New York City, and we recorded it there. And you know, it was on an album called Whales and Nightingales. And in those days, you didn't think about, well, what's going to be a hit? Or, is this going to be a hit? I just made good music. I just tried to put together on the album songs that would make sense and I loved. And later on, and it became an enormous hit here and in England, and it was immediate, it was instant, it was such a surprise to hear that on the radio, a cappella singing. And I didn't know this until I read Steve Turner's recent book about Amazing Grace, that apparently in 1970... 71, when this song came out, the song had sort of fallen out of favor. You know, it was written in 1784 by John Newton.
It just so happens that we have some Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Join me, and you could sing the harmony or the melody or another song altogether if you like, because it really is the spirit that counts.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
How old were you when you did that song?
I was in my early 30s, and apparently this song, according to Steve Turner, the recording of this song re-stimulated a worldwide interest in the song, and people began to record it in droves. There are now hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of recordings of the song. It even came into the repertoire of the bagpipers through a recording that was made in Scotland, the Scottish bagpipes, based on my version with the same harmonies. And it's a funny publishing story because actually I own the publishing on the bagpipes version.
You do?
Which I won in court. Isn't that interesting? In England.
Really?
Yes.
Did somebody sue you, or did somebody...
My publisher sued...
Filch your version.
They filched my version. Isn't that funny? But as a result, it came into the repertoire, and now you hear it everywhere. And I was very happy to have been a part of that process, because it's a very important song. It carries another legacy, which is interesting. John Newton was a slave captain of a slave ship in 1784, and he had a shipwreck, and he lived through the shipwreck. And after that, after living through it, he wrote the song, and then he devoted himself to the abolition of slavery and wrote hymns for the rest of his life. It's a nice story.
What's remarkable, a few years ago, I interviewed Dave Brubeck. And I did it because I was living in San Francisco, and I was in a recording studio doing my commentaries. And all of a sudden, an entourage of people walk in, and I'm looking at them, and one I recognized was Carmen McRae. And she was coming in to record the only album she ever did with Cal Tjader. Mm. And it was at Coast Recorders in San Francisco in an area laughingly known as wine country. For the people sitting on the curbs and the broken bottles.
Oh, dear.
And I managed to, Carl Jefferson was producing the album, and I managed to sort of squirrel away, and I wrote a piece about it and watched them. And then a few months later, unexpectedly, Cal Tjader died.
Yes.
And Dave Brubeck came to the Great American Music Hall, then in San Francisco, to do a memorial service, and the first song was Don't Get Around Much Anymore, which I thought was pretty good. But I asked him about, and I was surprised, and I shouldn't have been surprised, but I think it was a mark of my own naivete, to talk about the business of doing what he did of jazz. And he said that really the most fun he had was when he got on stage, but that the most of his day was spent with the business of the bookings, the personnel, all that other stuff. Now, here you are. You've managed to be sort of a creative engine, and sometimes it comes out in the form of a book.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it comes out in the form of a film. Sometimes it comes out in the form of performing your music.
Mm-hmm.
What does a day consist of? I mean, there's got to be a lot of administrative stuff. Are you doing your own arranging, for example? Do you arrange your own material?
Well, it all depends. I always know what I want in a song, and I have a musical director with whom I work. So my day consists of a lot of things. Meditation, getting on the phone, working with my office, working with the structure of what the year's going to be like.
You're on tour how many days a year?
About 80 shows a year, something like that, which really means 160 and a lot of airplanes and a lot of hotels and all of that. But, of course, I have a wonderful staff who does that. I have a wonderful musical director. I try to put in some time writing. If I'm writing a book, of course, I'm working on that. I'm doing my editing, having a social life. I'm married to a wonderful man, so I try to keep that
up. Who are you married to?
I'm married to Lewis Nelson, who is an industrial designer. He's the guy who designed the Korean Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C. on the mall. He's writing a book right now, too, about Memorial, called Memorial. And so we have our social life, we have our friends, but we both find ourselves at 1 o'clock in the morning still doing emails and doing business. I mean, it is a huge job to run the business and to have the career and to be creative, but I can't help myself.
But look at the challenges you've had. Alcoholism, whatever the addictions were, the suicide of a son that has to really put a hole into your heart. An immense gift that you've managed, and to whatever the obstacles are, you've managed to handle them as they have come up. Even, you said, bulimia for 11 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You've managed to handle them as they've come up, to untangle the threads. And now you sit before us with a remarkable career, a remarkable life, and you look to me like a beacon of light, Judy Collins.
Well, I feel that way. I feel so blessed because it all has, you were saying about before about how it's very rare to be able to have a career where there are so many threads that come together in different kinds of creativity. And that's what I worked so hard for. And I realized that a lot of my 30s, in spite of all the other things that were going on, my 20s and 30s were really involved in knocking down those walls of prejudice and of my own imposed societal a lack of permission to be that person that I wanted to do, to be fighting with producers, fighting with record companies, fighting with the business, to do something that I wanted to do my way. I can't tell you how hard I used to fight with record producers to make me sound like me. And my husband, Lewis, when Lewis and I got together in 1978, and I went out on the road that year with 17 people in my entourage, and he said to me at one point, you know, he said, they come to hear you. They didn't come to hear the band. And, you know, it was the smartest thing anybody said to me. I used to say, oh, well, they don't do that. This is the music business. He said, why not? This is your business. This is your life. You make it yours.
Judy Collins, you have. Thank you so much for joining us today. The book, Sanity and Grace, A Journey of Suicide, Survival and Strength. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150.
My funny Valentine.
Oh, I love that song. It's so good.
Sweet comic Valentine. You make me smile with my heart. Your looks are laughable, unphotographable, yet you're my
get their side. You both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Velcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at velcaro.com.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Many of us think of lead poisoning in children as a problem of the past, but up to 10% of all children in Denver's older neighborhoods even today may be poisoned by lead, which can cause learning disabilities and brain damage. This is Greg Dobbs, and if you live in an older home in Denver and you have young kids, contact the Northeast Denver Housing Center about their lead safe programs. For free testing and information on how to make your home safe, go online, leadsafedenver.org.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:59. We just have a few seconds left, so a lot of people to thank. Thank you to Judy Collins for coming in today. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for producing a fine show. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, for wonderful work on the board today and keeping us on the air. Tomorrow, we're going to be joined by Bill Clinton's biographer, David Marinus. On Thursday, Twyla Tharp. Doug Kellett up next from 3 to 6, 6 to 9, Dominic and Billy. I'm Enid Goldstein. I want to thank